The following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Charlie the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Hey, what's poppin'? We're in the DealsInTheD.com studios for the Friday show. It is a much anticipated show at this point. It wasn't so anticipated a few hours ago, but it's becoming more anticipated by the minute. Because, well, first of all, for the Drew and Mike program today, we've got Trudy, Mark, Brandon, Joey, and we're on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas. Every savory selection is made fresh each morning, from their signature sauces, salsa, and guacamole to their homemade award-winning 8-hour stewed brisket. Mesa Tacos and Tequilas, modern Mexican delicacies, are truly fresh from their kitchen to your table. And they're on Main Street in Royal Oak between 3rd and 4th with that big-ass screen and 150 tequilas and so on. So, I want to get started with breaking news.
Oh.
Regarding... Yeah, I guess this would be not
red
breaking
shovel
news. I'm not ready for the breaking news sounder yet, though.
Why?
Well, I just wanted to mention something. We may have some audio of Tom Cruise regarding Bieber.
Ooh.
And I think we have a number for Tom Cruise, too. It sounds like he may actually talk to us.
It's 100% too.
If, yeah.
100%.
I mean, if it's him, he sure sounds like him. So we'll get to that. Also, the valedictorian that went off script. This is real... This is the third valedictorian I've heard of this year that just decided to bash the school.
Wow. There are no conventions anymore of any kind.
I really think, and if you listen to this, I know you'll agree with me. This is a tattletale valedictorian.
Oh.
She's tattling on all the bad people
in front
of the crowd. This is the year of the tattletale, isn't it really?
Yeah.
Goodbye, fucking shit, fuel.
That's the end of speeches. Valedictorian speeches.
Well, valedictorians are going out too. Yeah, I think you're right.
No, but they can't risk it anymore. Can't let these kids talk.
Isn't it really not the time to call someone out at a graduation?
No.
Come on. If you got a problem, bring it up somewhere else, and you'll hear. You'll enjoy listening.
Oh, good. You know, I was thinking on the way over too, how many soft people there are. Is there any? Going to be strong when we need them? It's not the soft people I'm worried about. It's the fact that, are there any strong people?
The Rock.
Who's strong?
There's just a few. We're running out.
Who can take over if we need somebody to run things?
Look at the strong men.
Or manage a situation.
If you go down the soft rabbit hole, you can just get lost. I mean, there's so much softness there.
I know. So who's strong? I mean, who won't
Your
cry?
President. Your president will never cry.
That's true. He won't cry.
No, I don't think he'll cry.
Oh, God.
He's strong.
He would never cry. Yeah.
He is.
I'm so glad he did that interview with...
Tiny George.
George Stephanopoulos. I think he's definitely probably raised his approval rating.
Trudy and I were laughing at the image in the car. Did you notice that? Honestly, you would think Trump is 7'6" and George is like 2.5 feet tall.
George is 2.5 feet tall.
Okay.
Yeah. Trump is sitting way up for some reason.
And Trump seems like he's hiked up on one butt cheek or something.
Yes.
Like leaning.
It's a weird picture.
George, like he's sort of being, you know how when, you know, there's a tilt and it seems like he's being drawn to middle of the seat.
It's a really funny image.
Within like 2 minutes of the speech, there's demands for impeachment. I mean, fresh demands for impeachment for something entirely new. And also an argument. I mean, it's just like, oh, my God, did you give George Stephanopoulos an interview?
I know.
It was not a good idea.
Let him in the car. The other thing that I was excited about was like, we made that car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The Beast.
We made that car.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
Not me personally, but.
Detroit.
Detroit. Yeah.
The breaking news,
Detroit.
It's not really breaking news, but I've been waiting for this, the rest of the David Ortiz story.
Yeah.
You know, we all love Big Poppy, but it's kind of strange that somebody so beloved would be shot like that, and it would be a hit for $8,000, six people share $8,000 to hit Big Poppy.
Was that a fortune for them, though?
Yeah, it probably was. Probably.
By the way,
Average income, I think, is $1.50 a day there. Oh, so that's a lot of money.
Brandon and I were talking about this and watching the video again.
Mm-hmm.
That is the worst hitman I think we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Why did he not? I mean, I don't know, I'm glad he didn't, but why didn't he aim at his head?
Well, I thought the same thing.
Why didn't he shoot twice?
It's almost like he felt bad, like he's an Ortiz fan, so he just decided to hit him.
I'll just wound him.
He had to do it.
Yeah, he had no choice.
They did talk to him earlier. The only thing he said was, let's see, I'm going to find it.
Well, you got to translate.
Got some audio from this guy? That's great. It's congratulations.
I just liked baseball when I was a kid.
So obviously Ortiz was probably his favorite player.
Wow. That's so cool.
We put it through the Sling Blade translator.
Okay, there's a... The story today is the Dominican model at the center of the love triangle with David Ortiz seen brawling in his hospital waiting room.
Whoa. With?
Yeah. Ooh. With, I suspect it's his wife.
His wife?
They said it was with another woman. Hmm. So who else would it be? They don't say exactly, but they also say that...
Is there a video?
She was fighting with his entourage.
She received an $85,000 car from Big Papi the day before he was shot.
Oh. Wow.
Maria Yarabel Martinez Garcia, the
female. You would not like her for one reason and one reason alone, Drew.
What? What are you talking about?
Oh, they're shaved.
The eyebrows are very...
Drawn
on.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Well, you like that?
I can see past faults.
I can't see past drawn on eyebrows.
Oh, here she is. This her in the hospital, Brandon?
Yeah. I don't speak this language.
Something about friend. I heard amigo.
Is that her yelling at people in the?
Yeah, that's her in the hospital.
Oh, I didn't even see this.
Is that her butt in the camera?
Well, I was wondering who this was in the beginning because you can kind of see the vagina.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Is that appropriate for a waiting room in a hospital?
No, it's not.
No panties?
She can't sit down.
Maybe she was going for a gynecology thing, too.
Oh, African Kia.
Who's in charge of this video?
This is not well shot.
No.
A lot of floor.
But it proves she was in a fight. Someone was in a fight somewhere.
Well, she got an $85,000 Lexus from Big Papi the day before he was shot. Apparently,
he got shot over a Lexus? And there's an $85,000 Lexus?
Yeah. I wonder if she gets to keep it. That's probably what she's thinking. Do I get to keep the car? I want to keep it. He gave it to me.
Wait a sec. Do you know what her job is?
She's a model, isn't she?
She's a YouTube beauty vlogger.
Oh, jeez. She's an influencer.
Everyone's an influencer. You're an influencer.
They believe that the person responsible is a drug lord who thought Ortiz was having an affair with this girl. She's not been accused of any wrongdoing, denies being involved with a mobster, describing the love triangle allegation as totally false in an Instagram post. Oh, that's great that she was able to post.
By the way,
she's an influencer.
Denny McClain nailed this thing. The very second it came out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He goes, this is going to be about drugs, or this is going to be about women, or this is going to be about a combination of both.
Wow.
And that was like right away. He nailed it.
Denny's pretty quick to see the seamier side of things.
Eli said it's because Denny has some underworld connections.
Have you noticed how often Denny sees the gambling angle in something?
Yeah.
I mean, like, within seconds he's saying, oh my God, that's a great bet. That's why he loves Kellen Winslow, because Kellen Winslow made him a lot of money.
Yes, $40,000 on one play or something like that.
Of course, he probably lost $80,000 on the next play. Okay, so that, we knew this was coming out about Big Papi. It's too bad, because everybody loves Big Papi, but Big Papi's probably got a big wiener that he likes to use. Big wallet. Why would he buy her a Lexus, by the way?
I don't know.
Isn't enough to bang her?
That's what she wanted.
Do you think Big Papi was trying to, was he having a sword match with the drug lord?
Like, yeah,
look at my new Lexus.
Yeah, I'm Big Papi.
Big Papi, buy it for me.
Yeah, she said that immediately to Troublemaker.
I gotta wonder.
She
wanted it for her Instagram.
The third thing I'm astonished by is the fact that there's a Lexus dealership on the island.
That's a great point.
Where?
I know they make $1.50 a day. Who can afford a Lexus? You'd have to save up for, God, how many days?
How many they got to ship them to that island in order to sell them to people who make $1.50 a day? What the?
With the tax, you have to pay up for. You'd have to save up for like 60,000 days.
Yeah, that's a
$1.50. That'd be 90,000. So the tax, you'd have a few dollars left over. But you couldn't eat for 60,000 days.
There's a lot of food, you know, available, like coconuts and stuff.
Coconuts.
Sorry.
Okay.
I've been there. I don't have any respect for that island.
It could have been
killing
you.
Americans on that island.
You know, you haven't brought it up today. I think that is so selfless of you. It could have been you. We've had a lot of it could have been me's, by the way.
I know.
A lot of people.
I know.
And like that could have been me.
Exactly. And the resort, too. Where the people were dying. Yeah. A lot of could have been me's about that.
Yeah.
And a couple from Fiji, too. Could have been them.
Oh. Hmm. Ooh, those people.
What happened to the Fiji couple? Do we know?
I don't think they determined what the cause was.
Did they die?
Yeah, they died. Oh, yeah.
But they need to do an autopsy, and they're in Fiji. And I saw that hospital. I'm sorry to I'm an island basher, but...
Oh.
Yeah. That hospital, it looked like my veterinarian is better than that.
Yeah, I would rather
go place in that hospital.
I'd rather go see the vet. I'd rather go to Blue Pearl and go to that hospital. I think they'd take better care of me.
The latest is there's an ongoing investigation that could take weeks, but they died of a mysterious illness. So
wow, it seems like you'd want to know what that is.
Man, if you work for the CDC and you have to do that investigation, wouldn't that be great to pull the Fiji one?
Yeah.
This is going to take months, guys. I'll be camped out in Fiji for a while.
You don't have to work the whole time.
Oh, you do. But...
Do you think there's any
tests to come out?
Do you think there's any foul play in that? In any of these DR hospital, hotel?
In the Dominican Republic, 100%.
What about the Fiji one?
The Fiji one seems like a sickness.
But the other one is a couple, too, in the same room. I mean, if it's foul play, it's like, only kill one of the couple. Don't kill both, because then it seems so like foul play when both
only
die.
Only foul play. This is what I was thinking. Remember the whole thing with Mexico and people dying because there was something...
Oh, they were...
The drinks that were placed
in the liquor.
Yeah.
And they tracked it back to the actual distributor. So I wonder if there's some connection with that, because it's always the minibar.
But how could the distributor... True. What kind of distributor
You guys better send me to the Dominican Republic. I'll do more investigating.
What is up with the people that live there? They can drink this alcohol that kills an American in 5 minutes.
Well, they don't drink it. They just give it to us.
Yeah.
Because they're never going to see us again.
But we take two sips of water and we're, you know, and they're just drinking water left and right like it's no... I mean, their immunities just kick our ass,
yeah.
Don't they?
Oh,
well,
yeah,
they're used to their crappy water.
I guess so.
That's true. You can develop an immunity to that crap, to feces in your water.
Ugh.
You can.
Feces water.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, it's coming out of both ends.
I want to get this valedictorian.
I don't have to tell you that, Trudy.
No.
Really?
Oh, no, that's not me. That's that other guy.
I want everyone to hear this tattletale valedictorian. I just hate this girl. I hate her. Maybe I'm being unfair. Maybe she's really a hero. You're going to have to inform me. I couldn't sell
you
yesterday.
It's the worst school ever. I mean, doesn't anything cool ever happen here?
Couldn't sell you yesterday on the 9/11 fund, but maybe I can sell you on this. I think she's such a bitch. The speech is like, you, that's all you care about to me. But maybe she's serving a larger purpose. I don't know. Just curious. But first, what is National DJ Month, National Adopt-A-Cat Month, National Pride Month, National Iced Tea Month, National Soul Food Month, and the hottest deals of the year at Zodford and Holly all have in common? They're all happening in June. It's a trick question. As you may imagine, our friend Maz celebrates each and every June event, most of the time while playing hooky from work. But when he is at Zot Ford, he can help you lease the all-new 19 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $99 a month. Or in Maz's absence, Gary, his personal sales manager, can help you lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4. Did anybody buy a car from Gary while Maz was out, by the way? I wonder how often that happens. Let's see, the 150 Super Crew 4x4, the 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4, as low as $144 a month. If you care to celebrate cat, iced tea, or soul food this month, be sure to include Zot Ford and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County in your celebrations, and Gary and Mass, if he's there. See details and the massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And LASIK, one of the safest surgeries in all of medicine, has changed the lives of millions of people by allowing them to get 20/20 vision or better without the hassle and poor performance of glasses and contacts. It's about the freedom and lifestyle, and Dr. Yaldo, our loyal and heritage Red Shovel sponsor, is number one in Michigan. Incredible 30,000-plus people have trusted their eyes to him. The majority have actually gotten better results than they were hoping for. is because his CATS custom LASIK is the world's most precise, and most patients get better than 20/20 vision, called super normal vision. Just a few minutes, painless, and you can throw all the junk away, all the old junk. Multifocal lens implants, people 45 plus, frees you from your hated reading glasses, gives you precise far vision, prevents cataracts from ever forming. There's no pronoun with it. You've got nothing to lose. Seeing Dr. Yellow for a free evaluation, plus all the cool frames they have there, like Trudy got. You should get an eye exam every 2 years anyway. Tell them Drew and Mike sent you for an additional discount. Call 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to yelloweyecenter.com. Mr. Skin later on to talk about being Mr. Skin. 20 years of nip slips, cheek peaks, and fast-forwarding the good parts, plus maybe Tom Cruise. Trudy, this guy sounds like him so much. You want to play?
What guy?
Well, should we do the valedictorian?
It's Tom Cruise.
Oh, it is him.
We'll do the valedictorian first, and then I want you to hear Tom Cruise, who's he's accepting the challenge from Bieber.
Really? Uh-oh. I don't know. I think he's going to get his ass kicked.
I think this is the right valedictorian speech. Did it start with music?
I don't remember the music.
Well, what can I say? I graduated. It's over. I did it. I know most of you are saying, hey, any idiot could do that. Well, it was tough for me, so back off!
That's a good one.
Sorry about that.
It's really good.
Yeah, Billy! Billy's number one! Yeah!
That's nice, buddy. Yahoo! Yahoo for school! Yahoo for me!
Anyways, this hotel stuff really isn't for me. So I decided to step down as chairman of Madison Hotels.
You're going to get a job offer, too?
And give the company to
Carl. Way to go, Carl.
I'm going to go to college. I'm going to be a teacher. Peace, I'm out of here!
Peace out.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't see the controversy there.
Yeah, that's not the speech.
Oh.
Hopefully Brandon's got the right speech.
Good evening, parents, friends, staff, and class of 2019. It's a pleasure to speak here to you today. I'd like...
Boring.
Uh-oh.
Boring so far.
...to give recognition to those who have greatly influenced me during the past 4 years.
Me?
To my mother and father... You are the most hardworking and caring.
I don't want to hear about her parents,
that
by
I
the
know.
Way.
Especially in this past year.
Is this for the class?
With all the craziness.
It's about her, though. She's the valedictorian.
Starts her
and
nose.
Closer to adulthood. You have been wonderful mentors and role models. Thank you for your endless love and guidance.
Ugh.
To the teachers, Madame Rosa, Miss Monaghan, Miss Gomez, Mr. Triolino, Mr. Solomon, and Mr. Aleman.
It took that many teachers.
Thank
it wasn't
you
that great.
For being so invested in your students' education and well-being. You are the most intelligent, inspiring, and supportive individuals I have had the pleasure of learning from.
I thought your parents were.
SYHS. To my friends, thank you for always being by my side. I appreciate your love and support.
Well, the whole world
always.
Is just around her.
I will treasure the memories we made at this school. To my counselor, thanks for teaching me to fend for myself.
Heads up.
You were always unavailable to my parents and I, despite appointments.
What?
Only in these past few weeks, with the award ceremonies and graduation coming up, did you begin making your appearance.
Ooh.
And might I note, you expressed to me your joy in knowing that one of your students was valedictorian when you had absolutely no role in my achievements. To the staff in the main office, thank you for teaching me how to be resourceful. Your negligence to inform me of several scholarships until the day before they were due potentially caused me to miss out on thousands of dollars. When applying for a work permit, you repeatedly turned me away, despite confirming with my employer and parents that all my paperwork was filled correctly. I've had to escalate issues with staff to an assistant principal various times to reach any sort of solution. To the teacher who was regularly intoxicated during class this year.
Sounds like a conspiracy, doesn't it?
Thank you for using yourself as an example to teach students about the dangers of alcoholism. Being escorted by police out of school left a lasting impression. I hope that future students and staff learn from these examples. Thank you, class of 2019.
Oh, thanks for thinking about your someone else besides you. Wow. What a bitch. Okay.
How dare you lie like that?
The drinking teacher was escorted off campus. In front of the student, apparently at some point during the year. So that was just, that was piling on.
Thank you for teaching me about... God, that voice. Okay.
Yeah, she
teaching
obviously
me how to fend for myself.
So should have taken a speech class.
Right.
The speech
teacher failed you as well.
No, and the whole thing about the scholarships and the work permit, that was a conspiracy. They all conspired to screw her over, you know, from the people that, you know, her spelling was correct, everything was right, and everyone else was wrong, and it was this person, that person, this person. What a fucking bitch.
Hey, what school is it?
It's in San Ysidro, I think.
I just wonder, like, is this a good school?
San Ysidro High School, San Diego.
You want to see if they're listed? Maybe, would they have summer school going?
San Diego.
They're 3 hours behind us, so maybe we could get a hold of somebody.
Oh, school still in?
Maybe they've corrected it. Well, summer school, I was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, we can try.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's try.
Maybe we could call. Maybe we could call from one of the teachers she listed, the one she likes.
The drunk one?
Well, that one's
that's
not
a 3.8 out of 5. Might not be the worst school.
Doesn't a valedictorian have to have...
Hall Financial Hotline is open. DrewandMike.HallFG.com 248-308-5000 or click the link on the Drew and Mike Show website and fill out the online form. Hall Financial will get back to you in a heartbeat about your refi or to get a loan for your dream home, first home.
Don't they have to be a kind of smart and...
Well, yeah.
Good at speech making or charismatic or...
Tennessee High School, how can I help you?
Yeah, is this the school that the valedictorian said the guidance counselor was really mean to her and there's a drunk teacher?
Who's this, I'm sorry?
This is the Drew and Mike Show. We're calling because we know some people at the school. We were just worried if we should move them to another school or not. It sounds like the place is nuts.
Let me transfer you to the... hold on a second, the person indicated.
Oh, okay.
Is she one of the ones that... Didn't tell her about the toast and the scholarship?
I don't know.
Oh, is this going to be a voice?
How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. This is Drew calling, and I just spoke to somebody. I know some people that want to go to the school, but I just heard the valedictorian speech, and she said that you guys try to keep them from getting scholarships, and there's drunk teachers, and I just wanted to find out what's going on at the school.
Do you want me to transfer you to student service, to the grants and communication department?
Well, can you tell me, I mean, you work there. Are the teachers all really mean and the guidance counselors try to screw you out of scholarships and stuff?
I don't know, sir. I work in the administration on Fifth Avenue, Chula Vista.
Oh, well, that's where she couldn't get a work permit. Because she said she filled out her forms and that you guys screwed her.
Kind of proving her point.
Let me transfer you to Grant.
Oh, another transfer.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, just pass the buck.
Proving her point.
I wish I was a valedictorian. I'd talk about this.
Oh. Wants to talk. That's amazing they haven't hung up.
Oh. I know. They're a little
good afternoon, Grant and Communications, as we speak in.
This is Drew calling. I've spoken to two people already. They keep passing me around because I know some people that were thinking about going to this school, but they heard the valedictorian said that there's drunk teachers and they try to screw them out of scholarships, and it sounds like they hate the students.
Okay, so are you calling from a news company or are you just a community
member?
Yeah.
No, I'm calling from the Drew and Mike Show, but I know people that were thinking about going to your school and they're very nervous now about going there. They're thinking about trying to make other arrangements because the teachers are drunk.
Okay, well, you're calling the district office, so I can go ahead and take your name and number and have my director give you a call back.
Okay, can you just tell me, are the teachers drunk at the school? Are they mean to the kids? Do they try and screw them out of scholarships? Have you heard about the speech? This is a valedictorian that said this in the speech.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm not going to comment on anything, so I don't know what you want me to say right now.
Well, I just want
to. All I can do is take your name and number.
Well, let me ask you this. Is the skinny on this that the valedictorian is kind of a whack job? Is that what the story is?
Okay, now you're just pulling my leg, so I
no,
just,
I'm not.
I'm going to take. No, your not name pulling and number, no, and I can.
I thought she was a beast. I mean, I don't understand why she said that at the speech, but at the same time, I'm nervous.
Okay.
I've got 7 kids by 6 women, and a couple of them are thinking about going there.
Okay, now you're just
what?
Playing with me. What? All right, have a good one.
Wait, what are you,
that happens.
Wait, I have a few baby mamas. What's the big deal?
He was complaining with me about this girl.
What?
You were the first one. They're on the drone mic show. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of that?
No.
Well, you just that. Played.
No. Oh, she's Googling us.
I have 6 kids by 7 different women, and they're scared of going to San Ysidro High. They're just.
Who is this?
He didn't even give me a name. Oh, he said he's Drew from the Drew Mike Show.
And what's the problem with the work permit? You get him at the schools, right?
Yeah. But he's not even calling about that.
Yes, at the beginning he said that. He said that she had teachers that doesn't want to give her the certificate, and we're to give her the permit, and if you're calling the administration center, he said,
that's it. Oh, that's it. The Drew and Mike Show.
Oh, that's him.
Hello, we can hear you.
Hello? Color yellow?
I just heard all of that.
What?
Huh?
What happened?
Is she finally on?
How dare you lie like that?
I should add to the speech.
Are we still on?
Not good telephone skills.
She was talking to the other girl about the work permit.
Recap it.
I wish my babies could have the same sort of teacher, the same sort of friend.
They're passing around the office.
Yeah, they have a serious problem with communication. Whoa. I'm kind of with the valedictorian now, Drew.
Wow.
Well, I think they put 2 and 2 together.
They're really mad.
What's
to...
up with the six kids by 7 women?
That's possible.
Absolutely. The 7th woman, there aren't any kids.
That's what's funny. They don't even do the math when they hear that.
I know.
It's like one of those brain tricks where they just go, well, yeah, you know, 7 by 6. That was a nice hold, by the way. You can't even put someone on hold.
What was the part?
Are they still there, Brandon?
They're gone.
That was really exciting.
That part where it was really,
really
quiet.
We should call back and tell them we were on hold. Wow.
She was pretty sharp, actually.
Yeah, but we would have to call back to get transferred again.
Yeah, that's true.
I know. And we were on their side to begin with.
Well, no, honestly, my honest opinion is that girl, and that's what sucks about this. They can't go, yeah, the girl was a whack job. She's out of line. That was not anything you bring up. I mean, seriously, do you bring up any of that? What about the guidance counselor? Okay, maybe the guidance counselor has 9,000 people they have to see, and this girl thinks, I'm the valedictorian. I deserve all the attention.
They did kind of come out and kind of slam her because I guess she had to turn in a speech originally.
Oh, yeah. She ad-libbed.
Yeah,
she
and so they're script. Furious about that. Trying to find the guy's comment. Inappropriate, out of line.
Yeah, they just had it. It's funny. The story's on Channel 4 right now.
Did they talk to her? Did they interview her, the girl? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. But before that, they had a montage of people falling downstairs. Which
what?
Was great.
What was that about?
I don't know. Just people falling downstairs. I could watch it all day.
There's Trudy. Oh, Trudy was a tease for later. How smart of them.
What's with all the you, though? That girl was all about her. Her parents are so wonderful. Her teachers are so wonderful.
Except for
and then
drunk.
Her guidance counselor is so terrible, and the person is so drunk, but it's all about her. You remind me of the Chelsea Handler podcast, where everything is in relation to Chelsea.
Did it seem like the student body was against her at the end, though, when they started sort of talking and
Yeah, there were a few.
Amongst themselves.
There were some light hooting.
Drowner out.
I mean, that sort of speech, I think, you're absolutely gobsmacked when it hits because you're like, what? What is this? This is the valedictorian speech. What's going on? They weren't cheering.
Probably the first speech they paid attention to. It went off script.
You know, isn't this really... It's funny. We were talking about this yesterday. The school shootings and this guy's theory that there's a threshold for doing something terrible like that. And every time someone does it, the threshold gets lower. There's just a few more people sucked in going, oh, that's something I guess you can do. And I hadn't really thought about it, but maybe I will. Let me read the manifesto and go to the website. And, you know, these kids that worshipped Klebold and Harris. And I think when you have these people on social media who think they have a voice and they say horrible things about people online for the world to see, because I want everyone needs to know this. I think you have another threshold where, you know, you got a valedictorian who says, I'll get them.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think the best thing you can do is give the best speech ever. And
that's not the place
for
that.
The way you show people up is to, like, be smarter than system that she thought was subverting her.
I think she looks really beastly giving that speech. It's a day to celebrate.
Yeah.
And it's really nasty,
honestly.
I mean, I feel like kind of a square saying that. I should be going, yeah! But, you know, truth be told, you should just go up and give a nice speech.
Yeah, but protest speeches of, you know, like the 70s were all about, hey, the man is trying to, you know, it was all about the unification of regular people.
That's what it is, though. It's a protest speech. That's a graduation speech.
Right, yeah.
I mean, if she thought that they were so crappy, she's the valedictorian. Doesn't she have the ability to – she can say it in front of all those people. She can't say it to someone individually. Did she try? And the drunk teacher, that's just piling on, isn't it?
It is piling on, yeah. Trudy, here's your story.
Watch your step.
Down a flight of stairs can be devastating. Home surveillance cameras show many homeowners falling down the stairs. Supermodel Chrissy Teigen also suffered a fall down the staircase at home. She posted video showing some serious black and blue marks. She's not alone. According to one study, more than 1 million people a year suffer stair-related injuries. This is an accident waiting to happen,
well, let's
says
see
occupational
it.
Therapist Tracy Chippendale.
So there's a tremendous amount of clutter on these stairs, so we want to get rid of all of this.
Occupational therapist to tell us how this happens.
Only she's going to fall.
I want more people to fall down the stairs.
To a stumble.
Be nobody puts a table on the landing.
Nice clear path.
She told Inside Edition producer Allison Hall, it's also not a bad idea to give your stairs some traction.
It's a terrible idea.
I don't want it to turn into this.
This doesn't cover the whole stair, but it does give you a little bit more traction.
Carpet can also prevent slipping. Avoid patterns.
Sometimes when you have a lot of designs on the carpet, what happens is it's harder to judge the depth of the stairs, so
this sort of
solid color works pretty well.
Here's a big dolt coming
stairs
down the stairs with your arms full.
You need to have one hand free. If nothing else, you want to be holding that that rail, and if you do lose your balance, you really want to be able to have a good grip.
Oh my God.
I have no idea. This is
there's
so
a railing,
helpful.
That's good, but the fact that we don't have that barrier to protect you from falling off the edge, like I said, especially with kids.
Sometimes a fall is unavoidable. Stuntman Zachary Hubert of Hollywood Stunts NYC
is unbearable.
Showed us there is a right way to fall.
Oh, that's a fake fall.
You got to protect your head.
Hey.
What's step two?
Step two, you got to ball up. You're not going to go down a flight of stairs. If you're falling, you need to be like a ball. You need to roll.
Here he goes.
He rolled down the stairs.
That wasn't a fall.
That looks so fake, too. Did you see the very beginning of it? He like got down in position.
Yeah, he was lying on the ground. He just started rolling down the stairs. Fake.
You're not going to go down.
Fake news.
Stairs. If you're falling, you need to be like a ball. You need to roll.
Here he goes.
I declare fake news for the first time.
That part's fake. I like to see. I want to see more falls, like Kelsey Grammer.
I know they should.
Stair
right.
Safety and to cleanse my palate from to keep you from being black and blue.
Ew! Get
and here's one more thing. Our expert says the wrong shoes can also be a danger.
Shut up. How could Teigen not show her fall?
I know.
Didn't she want to go viral? That stupid bruise? Who cares? No, show the fall so we can get a laugh. Oh, my God.
It left me wanting more.
That bruise is gross.
More falling, less advice.
How do we know? The best way to find out what to do is to see what not to do sometimes.
Just to see all of them.
Let's see, falling downstairs.
You know, if you get
Brandon,
if you get down that rabbit hole, you can find, you can see the edge fall. And some grammar fall.
People falling downstairs compilation.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's the best.
Oh, here's some two drunk chicks on a cruise.
Don't oh, fall, that was a good one. That was on Tosh.
Don't fall off.
Annie, don't fall off.
Oh! Oh, that's not Annie the kind I thought it was going to be.
No, that's not a good one.
That was a good one. Chick's running down a flight of stairs and face plants at the end.
Whoa. Oh.
Is this Edge?
Yeah.
This is the Edge wiping out. And Boner. Woo! Who wipes out?
Come on. Stay with him. Stay with him.
Week.
It was hard.
There's so much promise, and it's going downhill.
Somebody needs to edit better.
This guy's messing around.
This is dumb.
This guy's riding a toy horse downstairs. That's
oh,
dumb.
I like accidental falls.
Yeah. Oh,
this guy dancing in it.
At a baseball game. Someone filming him with their iPad, by the way.
Tennis match.
Tennis match, you're right.
Whoa.
Please fall over that
oh,
railing.
Oh, come on, fall. Oh!
He fell down like four stairs, that's but like, he's 70.
That's so. What's called ass over apple.
Another drunk chick sliding down a railing. Oh! Wow. We'll link this on the notes. Well, like I did it on
that was
purpose.
Fake.
Oh, well, this is so fake. Fake news. Fake. Second time.
That's some comedian who's...
Oh, that was real. I think that was real.
Shit. See him? Pull your pants up, my man. He's going back up.
That's up.
Go for it.
This guy messing around in a wheelchair.
Oh, a wheelchair. Will Trudy laugh. When this wheelchair wipes out.
He's trying to take it down the stairs.
Well, it can't get hurt any worse, right?
No.
Oh.
That was weak.
Oh. Yeah, with all the security, with all the security cameras, shouldn't we have so many cool falls to look at? Come on, somebody.
Yeah. Oh, he falls down one flight and
then. Oh!
Wait, no, that's fake. What is it?
No, that guy's drunk.
Oh, he's drunk.
And it's on a security camera.
Okay, keep going, keep going, keep trying. Whoa! Oh, there you go.
Oh, ouch. Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, he's okay.
I don't know.
Is his forehead bloodied?
Yeah.
Oh, here comes a wheelchair. Heads up.
This is fake.
No, I don't think it's fake.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Where's the wheelchair ramp?
Well,
do we have to make another phone call today?
Oh!
The attendant made it twice as bad. The guy in the wheelchair just fell out.
Some guy. I don't think he meant to ride his bike down the stairs.
You know, it's devolved from its original intent, which was people falling downstairs.
You're right.
All right.
Nice.
We need to cue up Tom Cruise. Because I really think we're going to be talking to Tom Cruise. I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah.
So he really is taking this Bieber thing seriously.
Yes,
then.
He is. He thought it was a joke, but I think he got into it once it happened.
He responded on Twitter to Biebs' original tweet. Here's a...
By the way, Bieber's out there saying, it was just a joke.
I know, which is why I'm glad Tom's accepting it now.
Yeah. Hmm. I really think Bieber thought he was cool.
Tweet.
Like he just worked out or just wrote it out or something. And said, I want to beat up Tom Cruise!
But you know what, though? I'll accept your challenge. I don't normally fight girls, but I'll make an exception. Justine Bieber.
Can you play the other part with the history? Says you don't know the history?
Oh, that one? Other video? Yeah. Yeah, I got to find that one. Hang on.
This guy is really good.
Tom Cruise?
Yeah. He's looking good these days. It's like he shaved about 10 years.
Well, that's, you know, Scientology will do that for you.
Absolutely.
What if he wears just the shirt around, you know, like from Risky Business.
If you could be Tom Cruise for a day, would you want to? Evan Ferrant is recognized.
Oh, no, it's really Tom Cruise.
I don't know who that is.
Here's the right one.
Hey, they use the same music for this. Wow, what's a chance?
Did someone say wingman? Because I'm not leaving my wingman. I'm not leaving my wingman.
It's a sizzle reel.
KSW, you know, LOL. You know, sometimes when I laugh that hard, I almost want to throw up.
Woo!
I'm in love. Hi, I'm Tom Cruise auditioning for the role of Eddie Cullen.
It's Edward, actually. Just Edward. He doesn't really.
This is the last time you'll ever see me. Promise me you won't do what everyone thinks you're going to do, which is just flip out!
Tom! Katie!
It's Kate. Hey, Raymond, am I using you? Am I using you, Raymond?
Woo! Stop! He has answered a question from a half an hour ago!
I'm gonna f*** share. You're a jerk. You're being a jerk. You know, you should be ashamed of yourself. A volcanic eruption of foam.
This guy needs to do his research. You don't know the first thing about Seattle, okay? You don't know the first thing. You don't know the history of Seattle. I did. I studied it.
starts laughing.
Starts laughing out. Can't wait to talk to Tom.
For some reason, that Matt Lauer moment just never quite goes away. I mean, people screw up, and you get over it, whatever it might be. I mean, some things less than others. Roseanne, probably not.
Sure.
I don't know. Will she ever get past that?
Roseanne?
Yeah. She got past the national anthem. We've forgotten about that.
She waits a couple years in between.
But Tom Cruise really showed his ass with Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
What was that?
Matt, you're glib.
That's because it was such over-the-top hubris, you know?
Well,
it just
telling Brooke Shields what she can take or not take for postpartum, are you out of your fucking mind? Yeah, you are.
Oh, here's the full Cruise acceptance video.
So I read your little tweet. It had me howling. But you know what, though? I'll accept your challenge. I don't normally fight girls, but I'll make an exception. Justine Bieber.
He always slaps his leg, too. Oh, here's one day later. Working out.
Siri, I don't care for this song. Play Fight for Your Honor.
Fight for your honor.
So stupid.
But I could see Tom doing this.
I love burpees. I can only interpret your silence as weakness. I get it, you know. Fighting can be a risky business. But you've never seen me. Very upset. Now, if you ever do gain the courage to fight me in the octagon, I'll believe it when I see it. I will make sure you end up with eyes wide shut, and I will take you to the edge of tomorrow. Otherwise, maybe we'll just see each other another life. When we're both cats.
he looks remarkably like Tom Cruise with the sunglasses on. Yeah, speaking voice is really good. I think he's working the laugh.
Well, he needs to add that other laugh to that, that one.
But he has the gestures and the facial mannerisms.
Does.
Everything.
Yeah.
Hair. Wow.
The gestures are really good. When he's getting overexcited, he's pointing at the sky and stuff.
If anything, he's too young.
Yeah, he is young, but better young than old. Or
yeah.
Did you send him a text, Brandon?
Yeah.
Okay.
We want our Tom Cruise to be young, right?
Yeah.
What's a good face for him?
Of course, Doug Podell being photographed with the Detroit Tom Cruise.
Ah, yes.
And the Detroit Jack Nicholson. Those guys are a lot of fun. I bump into them. I mean, you can't go someplace and not bump into them.
He's always at the Killer Cares.
I bet they'll be at this one.
I saw him at the casino last year. Saw him at Killer Cares in the winter. I do see those guys quite a bit.
They always go out together?
Not always. I've seen them separate.
Are they dating?
But I have seen them together as well. They like to wear the matching uniforms from A Few Good Men.
And the Rod Stewart impersonator messaged me because he wanted me to, like, somehow.
He's still Rod Stewarting?
He's still Rod Stewarting.
Not to be confused with Randy Fowler?
No. But
no.
I asked him how many there were here in just this area. There are, like, three Rod Stewarts.
I cannot believe Randy Fowler denied the Rod Stewart thing. We interviewed him about it.
No, but how do you tell him? I don't know.
It's really weird. I feel really bad for him. He sounds...
Oh, yeah.
Really...
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
So Sports Illustrated has put out a long story about Kellen Winslow II.
Wait, Junior?
No, this, well, same difference. He's Kellen Winslow II. I don't know why.
Not the dad, but the rapist.
The one who was just convicted of rape.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to read the whole thing, but Deadspin extrapolated some things.
Oh, boy.
So
let me guess. We're going to feel really sorry for him because he was railroaded.
Here's some disturbing details about his NFL career. Winslow's alleged actions from his time as a pro don't include descriptions of rape or predatory exposure, but they still betray a complete lack of sexual boundaries around his coworkers. Winslow, it appears, freely masturbated and looked at porn with no regard for who might notice around him. This following part's from the article. He could count on having an empty seat next to him on any team flight due to his ritual of watching hardcore pornography on his portable DVD player, according to team sources. On one occasion, equipment manager tasked with delivering gear to lockers after hours walked in on Winslow masturbating at his locker, two seats away from the entrance, according to two team officials familiar with the incident.
Thanks for telling us all this information now.
I know. That is, you're kind of right, Brandon.
I'm willing to bet that it probably took them forever, if they ever said, you know, Kellen, you really shouldn't be watching hardcore porn on every flight. You shouldn't be masturbating in the locker room.
Yeah, you got to believe there's some women on that flight.
Hey, women like porn, but not necessarily Kellen's type.
Not when they're not ready for it.
Nor do you want to be forced to watch it.
Winslow would
male
brag about,
or female.
He'd brag about cheating on his wife by having one-night stands on road trips, but it focuses mainly on the behavior of his teammates, specifically witnessed while he was in the NFL. This is from the SI article. When pornography became widely available on mobile phones, he often watched it on his smartphone during team meetings. The two former teammates said nowadays such sites would be typically blocked by Wi-Fi. Teammates begged out of shared hotel room assignments with Winslow because he watched porno and masturbated openly with no regard for who was in the room, a teammate and an official said.
What's wrong with this guy?
Browns coaches Romeo Crennel and Terry Rubisky tried to mentor Winslow so he would change his habits, but didn't work. Later on in his career, after being sent to Tampa Bay via a trade, Kellen Winslow acquired a life-size silicon mold of a woman's torso, complete with vagina and anus, to bring with him on road trips, according to one former assistant coach. He was infantile, just very transparent, one unnamed team official said in the article. With Kellen, everybody knew what he was about, video games and fucking.
What a creep.
Was he any good at sports?
Catching a football? Yeah, he was all right.
Decent career.
That's why nobody cared that he did nothing but play video games and watch porn.
Exactly.
Because he could catch a football.
But I wonder if that led to his downfall. What did lead to his downfall in the NFL?
Age?
Did he age out?
I mean, he played
8, 9 years,
didn't
he?
He was 30.
30, though, you would think.
Yeah, but in the NFL, 30 is old.
Oh, I know.
When you're not, he's not as productive at the end. He has a couple good big years, kind of in the third or fourth year, I think. And then his production goes down. And then.
But look at that last year. Oh, you know what? He must have been injured in 2012.
All the masturbating and the porn starts to become more important as his production goes down.
Yeah. Wow, isn't that wild?
You know, I just don't even know what to say about this guy.
He's got some severe mental problems.
It sounds like
the boundaries more than anything.
But you know, and I don't want to be square, but this isn't something that keeps me up at night, but it's hard for me not to think about the fact, you know, when you read about these, like this high school football team, they all send their nudes to this site so they can all see each other's girlfriends and ex-girlfriends nude. Mm-hmm. And you see really creepy mass behavior and thresholds.
Right.
When you put an iPhone in a 14-year-old male's hand and you think they're not going to look at porn a lot,
yeah,
I think you're kidding yourself. And, you know, I'm not saying porn makes you do anything. I don't believe that, but I'm just not sure a
kid
that age.
You gotta be ready
for it. Yeah, exactly. That's all I mean.
Kellen Winslow Sr. was in town. The Cleveland Browns were planning on filming a video spot at the team facility in Berea starring father, the Hall of Famer, and son, the first round pick and future star. Dad was ready to go, but son was nowhere to be found. A team official noticed his Hummer parked across the street in a guest parking lot. An equipment manager was sent to check the vehicle.
They didn't want anyone else to see what was going on.
On the off chance Winslow Jr. was in it, the staffer found him there, in the back seat, masturbating.
Oh, boy. That's Kellum.
Dad!
But the guy, there was a guy locally, there was a story, he got busted beating off in a Walmart parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he was driving along, and all of a sudden he got the urge. He was driving to his grandmother's house, and all of a sudden he wants to masturbate, so he pulled over to Walmart and pounded off there, and somebody called the cops and got arrested.
Well, that sounds like a medical issue.
But, I mean, would you well, I was on the way to grandma's, and I just got really excited.
Would you rather beat off at grandma's?
Well, yeah, frankly, than the Walmart parking lot.
Oh, poor grandma.
That makes you sound like a creep, kind of.
Well,
beating up at grandma. Grandma, I got to go to the bathroom.
I know what you meant. But he was trying to be safety conscious by pulling over.
That's good. That's true.
Brandon, tell the story you were telling us earlier about the kid. Can you tell us that one or no?
Which one?
The one who showered 3 times a day.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. I mean, it was just, 14, 15-year-old boy. And so we're at a big party. And it says, hey, where'd he go? Oh, he's taking another shower. Another? Why is he taking another shower? It's his third one of the day. And it's only like 5 p.m. Why is he taking so many showers? And then the mom just kind of looks at me with this weird look. Oh yeah, he's in there beating off.
I mean, his mom knew?
Well, I mean, you
bad cover.
Put two and two together. Why is a 15-year-old kid taking a shower every 4 hours?
Why does he never have to dry his hair? Gross.
That's unfortunate. I hope that young man has gotten over his sex drive. Yeah. You calling Cruz?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. First, let me mention our beloved studio sponsors and friends at Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and DealsIndy.com. They're in the middle of their Jeep celebration event. They're excited for you to be a part of it. During Zot's Jeep celebration event, lease a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited at just $188 a month. You can also lease a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $277 a month. Or, if you're more the Ram truck type, how about leasing a new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 as low as $169 a month? Better yet, how about 0% financing on all new 2018 Ram heavy duties in stock? As you can see, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off this hot summer with a bang. So strap it on and take advantage of these great deals now. As we get ready to hit the Hall Financial Hotline. Want to talk about Hall Financial? Top mortgage company in Michigan for client service and big supporters of our show. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. And boy, they live up to that. Just got another great letter from somebody who was so happy with Hall. And he got LASIK. His wife's going for a consultation for boobs.
Whoa.
He's all over our sponsors.
Trifecta.
And he likes them all. I think he got a car from Zot, too.
Wow.
And David Hall and Company have over 600 five-star reviews because they always put you first. 72% of their business is referral because realtors trust them, their clients love them. Maybe you want to refer someone to Hall Financial. If you do, go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or have them do it. Or call 248-308-5000. They don't mind talking on the phone. But you notice how so many people don't like to talk on the phone?
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, businesses that don't talk on the phone.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, it's cheaper.
I read a story yesterday about people who are trying to get millennials, some of them who are in job search mode or in a job that require contact, and said, sometimes you have to talk on the phone to people. You can't just be texting and emailing everything. Yeah. You know, there's that personal touch.
Yeah.
Because they were just saying that, there were stories about people who were losing accounts, and they were saying, well, I can't get them on the phone, or I never talk to them, so there's really no contact. And I guess a lot of these people, I don't mean to pick on millennials, but just younger people who aren't used to talking on the phone.
But if you're on the other end of it, you have to realize that the other person wants to talk to a human being a lot.
Well,
of times.
Duh. If you're selling them something or they're your customer, for Christ's sake, you should want to talk to them on the phone to lock it in.
Once again, you are you're saying it's Gen Z, not millennials. It's Gen Z.
These are people in the workplace, established in the workplace. We'll talk. I'm going to give millennials props in a minute, by the way. I like the way Brandon just gets his guard up when the word millennial comes out. It's such a trigger.
Mm-hmm. We know how millennials are with triggers. Trigger warning. Hey, one last thing.
They're killing great. Let me just finish this.
Oh, I thought you were
248-308-5000 for Hall. Go to the show website, Drew and Mike Show. Click the link. Fill out the online form. And you're on your way. They'll get back to you, and you're on your way to a refi, saving money, as they've done for so many of our people, or buying your home, taking money out, shortening the length of your lease. Go to Hall Financial. You won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435. Or you might want to invite somebody else to go there.
Kellen Winslow Jr.'s last year in the NFL was in November was when he was busted beating off in the Target parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And then he was caught with synthetic marijuana. So
he was busted and not arrested the other time when there was the Vaseline, two open jars of Vaseline, saying, how much Vaseline does he need to beat off? Oh. Jesus.
Probably hung.
I'm sure he is.
But those
count
two,
on it.
So being 30 years old in those two hands. Things kind of led him to say goodbye. That was the end of his career.
Oh.
So if he didn't have those two things, they might have, someone might have taken a chance on him.
Well,
what parking lot is it safe to beat off?
Grandma's, apparently.
You know, honestly.
Not Target, not Walmart.
I think there's a lot more situations like this where guys come to the end of the line. And they do have something that maybe, you know, they're not a good teammate, or they party too much, or they take too many pain pills, or they're a little overly aggressive with women, or they, you know, maybe get in a lot of fights or near fight, and they just say, you know, this isn't worth it.
It's fine when you're an all-pro and you're 24. Oh, yeah. But
although that seems to be even changing, to the credit. You know, the guy in the Chiefs, what's his name, who the kid has a broken arm?
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah.
That story is so sad. Honestly, I just couldn't bear listening to that audio of that kid and also of the wife talking to him. And he clearly doesn't give a fuck about the kid or her because she says he's afraid of you. And he says,
you need to be terrified of me, too.
Yeah, you need to be terrified of me, too. I thought he said bitch. I mean, he just sounds like a horrible, and I know it's one conversation, but if you read much about it, I just can't imagine wanting that guy as a teammate.
He did allegedly assault her when she was pregnant with that kid, too.
Yeah.
So, great.
You know, anybody that assaults a pregnant woman, it's sort of like child molestation. You're just not wired right. Something is wrong with you.
Mm, or a child.
Or a child.
Assaulting a child.
I know, it's that's sad. Really sad. Tom Cruise just a couple minutes away, and Mr. Skin, too. I got to tell you, being Mr. Skin is a fun book to read. The foreword's by Adam Carolla. I regret that they put a fake name on here, like his name is something else, is the author. A little distressing. He's Mr. Skin. He doesn't have a first name. He's legally Mr. Skin.
There's a funny part in the book about that with Howard.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of funny things in the book. I really enjoyed reading it. I knew a lot of the story. But he's really a good guy who really made good for himself. And walking through his office, I'm in his new office, but I want to go. The people there are having a good time. It's not like this over-sexualized workplace. They have good benefits. He takes care of people. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy. And what's so cool about it is he was working at the Mercantile Exchange. And if he hadn't been having a lack of success at the Merc, you know, some guys make a couple hundred grand there.
Yeah.
He wasn't making a lot of money, so he said for that reason it was worth it for him to go full-time Mr. Skin and see if he could blow it up. But he said if he'd been more successful, he probably wouldn't have taken the chance.
And the world would never have had Mr. Skin.
No, we'd had no Mr. Skin. Somebody else could have been Mr. Skin.
Oh,
and Mr. Skin
not
was,
like this.
was when he went on Harry Tynowitz's show, and Harry's a friend of Skin from way back. I know Harry, really good guy. I got to ask him about Harry. Harry was on the air in Chicago, and the station blew up, and, you know, he's an older guy. I think he's about mid-50s, and just was kind of lost in the shuffle, and he was trying to decide what to do. You know, he was, should I start a podcast? Anyway, but I like Harry. He's a good guy, and he and Skin are very close. Skin met Harry because Harry was at a table next to Skin while people were hitting him with, Lauren Hutton, where's she been nude? And Skin was answering like rapid fire, you know, how many minutes into the movie? And Harry's like, who are you? What is this? And Harry said, would you come on my radio show? And he starts going on every week. And the first time he went on, he said, okay, any questions? And he said, yeah, I don't know if I want to use my name. My parents don't really know I'm doing this. He was kind of embarrassed. And so he said, okay, we'll call you Mr. Skin.
Oh, really?
And it stuck.
Wow.
And of course,
perfect
now,
name.
His parents not only know about
genius.
It, they actually, his sister works for him. She's the HR director. And his mom and Aunt Margie work for him, too.
Oh, nice.
Luke Nowacki wants you to know he'd love to help you with your finances. If you're struggling, or you just feel you don't have a plan, you should, because you're going to get here faster than you think. And you got to be, you don't want to, let's see, you got to have enough money before your life runs out. You got to kind of plan it all. Trudy used that expression. He said, I don't want to outlast my money. And it's true. I mean, there's no better way to say it. And it's the same way with college. You know, if you don't start thinking about this till the kids are 12, 13, 14, 15 years old.
Well, then you got some catching up to do.
Yeah, then you're going to have these college loans and these kids that bitch for life about you ruin their life because of their college loans. It's tough out there. Call Luke Nowacki so he can help you out. Maybe there's a 401k. You're questioning some of your investments. Let him look it over. 248-663-4748. It's complimentary. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Rollins Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Rollins Associates Incorporated separately owned other entities and our marketing. Names, product, services, reference here are independent of Rollins Associates Incorporated. And we heard the video earlier, Tom Cruise accepting the challenge from Justin Bieber. And I couldn't believe there was a phone number on there. And I can't believe we were able to get a window there. Is this Tom?
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Tom, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Doing great. I just finished my morning workout climbing El Cap. Free soul, you know. So I'm in the wilderness. I hope you can hear me.
Oh, yeah. No, we hear you very well. And, you know, I think it's so cool that you've been doing all your own stunts. You've been working so hard. And all of this sort of seems to be leading up to this fight with a 25-year-old. Do you think?
Well, you know, I'm fully 100% committed in everything I do, whether it's chopping vegetables or you know, doing a rowing machine. I'm just 100% committed.
Wow. Yeah.
Always.
And amazing with what? Just vitamins, never medicine. That's part of it.
Vitamin supplements, saunas, steam baths. It's my daily regimen.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever had a cold, have you?
No, I never get sick. No.
Of course not. No.
And I levitate, too.
Well, it's amazing. It's been an amazing life, an amazing career. And I got to tell you, I was excited when Bieber made this challenge. And I was the one that said, Tom Cruise will kick his ass because he'll work harder. He'll get in shape. And a lot of people are picking Bieber because he's boxing. But you sound like you're confident.
Hey, look, I've been training my whole life with this, okay? If he wants to get in the ring with me, I'll have to show him the money.
Yeah,
you know, I'll just show him the money, and I'll take him to the edge of tomorrow, and you know, to oblivion. You know,
the edge of tomorrow. Was Tom in the Edge of Tomorrow? I didn't know he was. Oh, is that a movie title? I was thinking of the soap opera.
No.
Oh man, what an idiot I am!
I think it was originally titled "Live, Die, Repeat," but that didn't go over well with Hollywood, so they changed it. Yeah.
Wow. Now, any thoughts on Bieber? Because I always thought he was kind of soft. I see him crying all the time. What do you think about this guy?
Well, you know, he's trying his best to become more masculine, but you know, it's a process that you know, may never come to fruition. But he's trying, and I give him credit for that.
Well, I have you seen the videos of him? He's out with Haley Baldwin, and she's comforting him. He's bawling his eyes out. I mean, that was recently. It just seems soft.
Everyone goes through tough times. You know, I'm not gonna cast judgment on him, but you know,
he's glib though.
He might need to do a Kleenex commercial one of these days.
It sounds like he could use an audit or two at the old Scientology Center. He's got a lot of money.
Got a lot of thetans too.
Yes.
Yeah, he just needs some deep rooted therapy, cathartic. You know,
right?
Cathartic things,
but not any kind of medication. You don't believe in that, do you?
No, I don't prescribe to any medications. I don't believe in that. I don't even drink any coffee. No, I just breathe in the air. I'm actually a breatharian. You know, I just light and air, sunlight and air is all I need.
What about psychiatry? You know, what if it was just conversation? Do you believe psychiatry could help a guy like Justin Bieber who's crying all the time?
But psychiatry is one of the banes of our existence. You know, I just, you know, it's something I do not condone. No.
Okay. I understand that. I know L. Ron Hubbard felt the same way. I mean, it was
LRH.
Yeah.
LRH. Excuse me.
LRH. Yes. LRH, KSW, you know. Do your research. I've done mine.
I know you have. Have you talked to David Miscavige lately? This is a guy that's running an incredible operation, probably a billion-dollar operation. And I know you guys are close. Have you talked to him recently?
Well, we spent Memorial Day weekend at my cabin in Telluride. We were shooting some birds, and you know, he's one of my best friends. You know, really, we just have a heart to heart connection. We're were heart-opening with one another.
Huh. It seems like you're almost one and the same. I mean, you guys seem so much alike. I see you ride motorcycles together and stuff.
Well, we're certainly on the same frequency. Yeah, no, we ride motorcycles. We, you know, we do with our squirrel suits. You know, we hang glide. We're just, we're adventurous, adrenaline seekers, you know.
Yeah.
I saw that, you know, Katie Holmes, your ex, has started dating another actor in Jamie Foxx. I didn't know if you would comment on that.
Oh.
Is that a sore spot?
I have
for
no
her?
Qualms. You know, he's you know, from Collateral. He's my good friend, and I'm all about love and everything. And look, I've moved on, and Kate's moved on, and I'm okay with that. And you know, I still have love for Nick. You know, it's just, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah,
Nicole. Yeah.
Oh, Nicole. Of course. Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, but she's not. That sounds like with the adopted kids,
yeah, Connor.
Connor and Bella. Is it?
Chick. Yeah.
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 It sounds like maybe she's not so close to them, and I don't know. Maybe is there something, some disconnect there? Is she a suppressive person? Maybe or something. I don't know.
She may just.
No. She's not. No, she's not a squirrel. No. She's that's the term for
suppressive. Yeah, no, okay. we know.
Thank you. I didn't know that. I'm glad because the audience.
If you need a copy of Dianetics, I can send one to you. I can
please
have
do.
Have it arranged.
I should read that. I should. Okay, so she's not
it
a
may
squirrel.
Help you.
Yeah, because sounds like the.
No, she's not. No.
It sounds like the kids aren't really in touch with her that much. In fact, she didn't thank them when she got. I think she won an Emmy or something, and she talked about Keith, and I didn't hear anything about the kids.
Well, I don't want to comment on those things, you know.
Okay.
Right now.
Maybe okay. She's just not as good at parenting as you are because you're 100% on everything.
Mm-hmm. Right, is this Trudy?
Yeah. Hi, Tom.
Oh, hey, Trudy. How you doing?
Okay. Tom Cruise knows my name. How do you know? How do you know these things? Wow.
I mean,
does
I know things.
Oh, you do your research.
He does his homework.
Do my research.
Nobody does their homework like Tom Cruise, and that's why I picked him over Bieber right away. I just thought, he won't let it happen. He'll overtrain.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
No, I've studied every which way I can break bones and you know, rip off ears with my teeth. And it's just not rocket science. It just takes a little research.
Well, and you can do anything in the octagon, too. I mean, you can do anything in the octagon.
Right.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
But then you have to heal him afterward. Aren't you obligated to make sure you're
remember when he put his hands on that guy and said, end of assist?
I tend to heal. I tend to heal quicker than most. I operate a little bit differently than
human beings. Yeah,
we're than human beings.
All right, we're talking to Tom Cruise. I heard that that audio we played earlier, and I thought, is this a joke or something? But my God, apparently it's a real McCoy. And
Tom Cruise is not a joke.
No, he doesn't. But there's a lot of comedians out there. It's just that he looked really young in the video. But Tom is, I mean, let's face it, he's like Peter Pan, and it seems like he's getting stronger. The movies are still doing well. And I want to talk about your pilot's license because I read that you were dyslexic as a child, had trouble reading and whatnot. Now you've gotten past all that. All those hardships seem to have fallen by the wayside, and you got your pilot's license, right. And you fly a lot, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's no longer a problem. You know, it's a thing of the past. Like, never existed. Mm-hmm. And I just, I create my own realities. I create my own universe.
Wow.
Whoa.
Does Miss Cavage fly? Does he have a pilot's license? Anybody know?
I don't know.
Seems like they would fly together.
He's kind of a backseat driver, you know. I'm flying, and he just constantly, you know, tells me I'm going the wrong way, or you know.
That's funny.
He's kind of a nuisance.
Yeah, it's one of those wacky.
When it comes to that.
Sounds like a wacky friendship, doesn't it?
A bro thing.
Yeah.
Are you in touch with Oprah at all? Because you had that famous appearance on Oprah.
You know, we're no longer in touch after that incident. I strained her wrist, and she's just she was in therapy for a little while.
Oh, high therapy,
and yeah, so
that was quite
unfortunately not. You know, I did like her company. I did enjoy her company.
Yeah, and Suri, your daughter. Now, it sounds like maybe there's not a great deal of contact, but maybe she's gone astray. I think, you know, from what I understand, she's not maybe as spiritual as you are, or maybe the right kind of spiritual.
No one is.
Am I crazy about that?
She's connecting to the life source in her own way.
I see. Okay. Are you in touch with her?
Oh, on the regular, yeah. Daily basis.
Okay. I didn't know that. Well, Tom, could you put Evan on the phone? I know Evan was involved in putting this together. We wanted to thank him so much.
Let me just connect him for a second. Hold on. He's on my speed dial. Here we go.
And thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Okay. No,
which is faster than everyone else's, right? Speed dial?
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh.
Yeah, Tom is speed.
Yeah, hey.
This is Evan. Wait, is Evan there?
Hey,
Evan.
Yeah, this is Evan.
Evan, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
Thanks for connecting us to Tom.
Yeah, thanks so much. Oh. God, I gotta tell you, I laughed my ass off as I was watching that video. For the first probably 40 seconds, I really thought I was watching Tom Cruise. Mm. And then I was really appreciating what you were doing because it was just really sharp. Is this a big thing? Do you do this a lot?
Yeah, this is not my first time doing it. I've been doing it for a long time. About 10 to 15 years, maybe. I don't know, like since 2005.
Where are you located?
And in Los Angeles, Hollywood.
Okay.
How did you find out?
I'm from New York, though, but yeah.
How did you find out that you had the capacity to be Tom Cruise almost effortlessly?
Well, I was naturally kind of born with his vocal cords. I mean, obviously, my voice changed through the years, and I'm grateful for it because it created, a stream of income I never would have had. And it's not something, of course, I planned for. It's not something I woke up one day and said, this is what I want to do. But it just kind of was a fluke, happy accident where a friend of mine from college recognized that I had his mannerisms and his voice. And he concocted a scheme of us meeting women that way, where he would kind of pimp me out to the dorm room, to knock on dorms. And it worked, it was pre-Tinder, pre-MySpace, pre-Facebook. It was pre-everything. And no, I was Boston University, just trying my best to, meet women.
What else would someone do with a roommate or a dorm mate who looked and sounded like Tom Cruise?
Right.
Of course you would pimp him out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was quite entrepreneurial.
No.
He had an entrepreneurial spirit. Yeah.
On the website, NotTomCruise.com, if you go there, there's a picture of you and the Risky Business one. But there's also a picture that's you with the actual Tom, so you've met him.
Yeah, that's not a cutout figure. Yeah, that's him.
Now, two things about that. Number one is you seem shorter than him, which is amazing. I mean, no offense.
It is amazing. Well, I am slightly shorter than him, but he was wearing lifts.
Oh, and
he's been known to wear lifts.
Of course he was.
Silly of me.
Like for all of his movies, he typically either cast someone who's shorter, but in the case where someone's taller, like with Brad Pitt, he was on a platform the entire time for Interview with the Vampire.
Oh my God.
That's so hilarious.
Now, where did you meet him? Does he know? I mean, did you do him to him?
He knew about me because, I mean, I of course, I don't know if he avidly watches my content, but he knew about me from being on the show Extra, Mario Lopez. My video was rated number one Tom Cruise impersonation. And he was invited on the show, and Mario Lopez and Tom were laughing at my videos for a little while. And he said how uncanny my voice was, and it was really that was the first time I knew that I was on his radar. And then throughout the years, I might have heard like some rumblings about him knowing about me or acknowledging me, and people in his camp like his Paula Wagner or Dustin Hoffman, like people like that are fans of the impression, and that's awesome. I don't know if he watches. I've done a lot of content. I'm sure he doesn't watch all of it, but it's possible.
Doesn't work out to more than just online content? You book games?
Well, I do a lot of core. I do everything. I've done commercial work, film work, TV, corporate events, corporate appearances. Because I'm not just a lookalike. I wear a wig and glasses, and I'm an actor. So I do more of a full-on impersonation where I kind of channel his energy and essence and being, and it's become more performance art for me a little bit,
like normally,
a Joaquin Phoenix thing.
Evan, normally I would make fun of somebody that says that, but you really do. It's like you transform. It's fantastic. And I thought the look was really good. But the voice and your hands, your gesticulating, everything, it's like you're Tom Cruise. It's really good, man. You deserve a lot of credit for that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. I don't know if you saw the follow-up video I did with me actually doing a training workout video. But that's cool. Yeah, like I thought that was like, a solid video. There were some Easter eggs in it. I'm not sure if you saw some of the Easter eggs, but one of them in particular. And look, I don't like to knock Scientology. I don't like to even talk poorly of anything involving that or his personal life in any way.
We will.
But I did have a copy. I know. But I know people are very critical of it after Going Clear, but I actually had a copy of Going Clear underneath my mug.
Oh, you know.
So my coffee mug was sitting on top of Going Clear, and you could kind of make it out, and I kind of left that as an Easter egg, and I actually offered some of my fans. I mean, it's kind of crazy to even say that, but I do have some fans on YouTube, but or on Twitter. And I said, hey, anyone who can guess the book, my mug sits atop. I'll give you a special shout-out video. And someone eventually got it.
Ooh.
Actually, you know who got it? The librarian got it, because the librarian who's around books all the time just knew it was going clear. So it was kind of funny.
Okay, Evan, I have to ask you this, because if you say you don't know what this is, I'm about to give you a way to make a nice little chunk of income, another revenue stream. Are you on Cameo?
So I know what Cameo is. I'm on Fiverr. I've been doing Fiverr for 4 or 5 years. So pre-Cameo, I was doing shout-out videos for years and doing pretty well as like a side income.
How many
Cameo
is really big.
Yeah. No, I understand that. I'm trying to get on. Actually, the past month, I emailed them and they never wrote me back.
So honestly,
screw them. I don't have enough of a social for them. Family? I have the talent, but I don't have the social. Who knows?
Oh my God! You should be on there.
I don't care. I get enough work, and I have enough of like a loyal, you know, customer base to work in this doing voiceovers, because I've been doing it a long time. You know, cornered the market a long time ago. I was first one out of the gate, and look, I'm going to do it until people stop paying me, until they're. Is a lack of demand. I'm just going to ride it out and milk it for all.
No, I think you take on doing Tom Cruise like Tom Cruise takes on doing Tom Cruise. There's something very cool about that.
Right.
What percentage of, you know, not to get too personal, but as a percentage of your income generally, how much is being Tom Cruise? Is that the bulk of what you do for income?
Well, so I'm a film producer, TV, new media, documentaries, but you know, they take like, and look on paper, I've done all right. Like I've produced a lot of films with HBO and, some narrative films. I did a movie with Brittany Murphy, the late Brittany Murphy, her last film.
Oh, wow, yeah.
As an executive producer. But I haven't really made much of an income from producing. Like, it's really kind of a, you know, as you probably know, like a thankless profession, but also not a massive income-driven profession. You make most of your money on the back end, especially as an independent producer. So, and also there's a lot of waiting around, a lot of, like, dead time. So I had to fill it somehow, and I filled it with doing Cruise impersonations. And but I also have a lot of other side hustles. I'm an entrepreneur by heart, and I've constantly got some kind of hustle that I'm doing or some scheme. And you know, I'm a businessman. But
well, let's do the plugs. Yeah. Where do people find you, and where do they find your videos?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to find me. I'm on Not Tom Cruise Official is my YouTube and my Facebook, and then on and my Instagram actually. So those three, and then I'm on. Twitter is not_TomCruise. Mm, okay. And then my website is nottomcruise.com.
Do you have a lot of followers?
It's really easy to find me.
Do you have a lot of followers on Twitter, for example?
Well, Twitter, since this, not much. I wasn't really active on Twitter, but since this video, you know, kind of propelled me into a new stratosphere level, it more than doubled. It's like almost 7,000 right now, which is not
good.
Like a lot.
That's not
but
bad.
I'm not too active. You know, I went from 3,500 to 7,000.
If you double that, you'd pass Dustin Diamond. That's an inside joke.
Yeah.
No, believe me, Twitter's not easy to start. You know,
I'm kind of like, I'm from a generation where I had one foot in one generation, another foot in the digital age, analog digital, and I never really pursued it heavily. I did make a lot of money for other corporations when YouTube and Funny or Die came about. I didn't really monetize myself effectively, like well enough. I basically started off and, you know, got a lot of views for like Disney, for instance, and I didn't make any money off of it other than like a payday for the day, the shoot. So I've never really been, on the social media.
Well, hey, jump all over it, because you really got a chance now. There's over 3 million views
I know,
of your.
I know.
That's great. Yeah, that's fantastic. Take advantage of it.
It's amazing. It's humbling. I'm so grateful. I just have made my income from like people just hiring me in a more traditional fashion through a manager or through my website and doing actual events and appearances and corporate things, but. But obviously the social helps, and I recognize that. I just don't have the time to do it myself. It's just, like, exhausting.
Evan,
like, the last couple of days have been absolutely exhausting.
Give the shout-out information,
really
too.
Exciting, too.
Because we get a lot of people, your shout-out information. If people want to buy a shout-out.
Yeah.
Where's that?
Oh, yeah, well, the shout-out is through Fiverr, and that's, I think it's just Fiverr / Not Tom Cruise, or something like, I think it's like very, I think it's that. Yeah.
Okay. We'll look
I don't
it
have
up.
It on me direct right now, but
that's
I,
okay. We'll look it up. We have Andy Dick on a lot, and I know he's gotten quite a few shout out purchases off the show and from Detroit. Right. So yeah, maybe we'll get you some business.
Look, I appreciate anything you do, you know, just spread the word that I'm around, I exist, and I can spread some joy to people's lives. I really enjoy doing.
We will spread the word, and I'm sure you'll hear back from us. I have a funny feeling.
More workout videos.
Thank you.
Not Tom Cruise.
Thank like you, that. Evan.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very
Evan.
Much.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, Evan Ferrante. Damn, he's good.
The voice.
Wow.
What does a corporation hire him to do for a corporate?
Just show up and yuck it up, I bet. Take pictures, take selfies. I think that business is easier now than it ever was because people love selfies.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I took a picture of Tom Cruise.
You're right, yeah. There was a Seeger impersonator at Seeger last night.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. Yeah. Julie's parents went and they sent Julie this photo. I'll show you. I go, that's not Bob.
Our Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the worst, but
there
it's
not bad. Lots of those guys, too.
Yeah.
It's funny, that's Tom. That's Bob Seger, like if he was an engineer at Riff or something. Does that look like? I mean, not really Bob Seger, but yeah. He does look like
from
him.
From a distance, it looks like him.
You know he's doing a total Bob Seger look.
He should
look.
Be, yeah.
No, he is.
He
doesn't know it, but he is.
That guy doesn't need glasses.
But honestly, this whole selfie thing, it's like O.J. Simpson. I was thinking about because of the 25-year anniversary.
When is he going to get on Cameo?
Cameo
have him?
I could, yeah, I think they would.
The
I
Cameo
really do.
Family?
I think they'd welcome him. I think the Cameo family would welcome him.
Make a mess.
He'd be embraced. But I was thinking about the 25-year anniversary, and I started doing a little bit of the dive into, you know, what was going on then, and them shuffling all this stuff into his prison cell to sign, and how fucked up that was.
Yeah.
I mean, can you believe his legal team was sneaking in threes and twos to sew on a Buffalo Bills jersey with his signature? I mean, how nuts is that? He absolutely slaughtered two people, and they're trying to make money off him. I mean, that was, and I know they wanted to get paid, which they didn't in full. My understanding was he never completely paid his attorneys, which is bizarre. But, I mean, doesn't that seem just insane? I mean, now I could see that happening because nobody has any sense about anything. I mean, there's just lunacy just abounds. But it seems like in 1994, people buying shit with OJ's signature while he was in jail?
Yeah,
doesn't that seem crazy?
Yeah.
Well, that was the beginning of the threshold.
You're right.
Back then.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder what that stuff, because they were selling it for a lot of money. They made a ton of money. I'm trying to remember. I just read about this. He signed, maybe it was 1,000 threes and twos, threes or twos for jerseys, and they sold them. And it was a lot of money. They were nice jerseys, but I couldn't believe the markup. And I wondered, are those people stuck with those jerseys, or can they resell them now for more, do you suppose?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
I mean, memorabilia is a really fascinating thing, and what makes it go up and what makes
it
go down.
Well, they flooded the market, so that's why there was so much of it out there.
Memorabilia.
And, you know, he's holding these guys up in a hotel room in Las Vegas to get his you know, getting off the murdering suit back.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but
stuff.
Who else was it? Joe Montana signatures. It was a bunch of stuff.
I know, it was a lot of crap.
That was the problem. It wasn't just him getting my stuff back. He was trying to take all the merchandise.
Oh, hey, it's skin time.
Yeah.
Ooh,
whoa. Is. Oh. Oh, Lordy. I just forgot. I just remembered, I forgot to congratulate the St. Louis Blues. I'm so glad they won.
Yeah.
Because they never won the Cup before. And I got to tell you, the post-hockey game was hilarious because every Blue was like, fucking A!
I know.
When they raised the Cup. Most F-words.
Well, gets it next.
Fucking right.
Wow. And more.
Fucking right again.
Wow.
Holy fuck.
Oh my
God. St. Louis native, Doc. Patrick Maroon. More.
war celebrating continues here from St. Louis. We do apologize that there is some exultation language that got on, and
exultation is the best.
He's really good.
You know, even before this, when they won and got right on the ice.
Sorry, I
Wow. Well, play it back.
Sorry.
You know, once we got that lead, we knew we were going to fucking get it. You know? Sorry, I'm so amped up. Whoa. I'm so sorry. We knew. The boys.
Did you see the Free Press taunting Boston then?
Yeah, it's silly.
In a tweet, transpired on your hockey rink tonight. Your city's sports teams have suffered long enough. We know in our hearts you'll get through this difficult time. Free press.
Well, I was kind of surprised
Detroit
by that, but I laughed because
I did too.
I'm tired of Boston winning.
Yeah, but so weren't they also throwing it about the? Go ahead, Mark. You're probably telling the same thing I was going to tell.
Well, just the stat that only one city has held 3 out of the 4 championships at the same time, and it's Detroit, 1935.
Yeah. Like anybody remembers that.
The Wings, the Tigers, and the Lions. Were
Wait,
all champions.
The Jets, the Mets, the Knicks. Was that a year? Knicks maybe, or a year after the Jets? Mets. Jets. Yeah. Mets in '69. That was incredible.
That was it though.
Wow.
Chicago
the Knicks were 69-70, though, I think. Cool. Or were they 70? Maybe they were 70-71.
But it could have been. It could have been them. It could have been Boston. They would have won.
The Patriots, the Red Sox, and wow.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
And the Celtics were good at for a while.
Sure. They
were
really, yeah.
Probably not. Never going to win it, but. And I'm excited about the NBA. I hope this thing goes 7 games. God,
I
have
can't
the,
wait.
The hockey and basketball go 7 games is so exciting. Every other day or every third day, it seems like I've got an exciting game to watch.
Both championship series have been very entertaining.
Absolutely. Mr. Skin.
Uh-oh. Do we miss our window?
MrSkin.com. No, he doesn't have graph windows. His windows are bigger than
Gary. He's always been very accommodating. Until now.
No?
Hello?
Skin? We got a mention on page 66.
Ooh.
Along with a few other shows, but we'll take ours. Should I text him?
Clark would demand a whole chapter, wouldn't he?
You're calling, do you call him that 774
yeah,
number?
I got the right number.
Okay. Huh. Let's see, Brenda. Yeah. Yeah, Mike would definitely be all over the index as soon as he picked the book up.
What? Yeah. It's really cool. There's a lot of lists in here.
Okay. He said call back.
Oh.
Cool. Yeah, there are great lists. And I really enjoyed he's writing about what it was like trying to see nudity in the 70s as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was really thin.
Well,
hey, Skin, how you doing, man?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Excellent.
Pretty good. Congratulations on being Mr. Skin.
You've been congratulating me about that for 20 years.
Yes, we have. You're right. By the way, how's the book doing? Do you know?
I think pretty good, but I did tell my friends, I said, I didn't do a book to get rich. There's not a ton of money in the book business, but it, for me, was a kind of cool thing to kind of put on paper the history of, you know, the 20 years of doing this website and all the things that led up to it. So it was very cathartic and fun. And for me, the big takeaway out of everything was just what a great, fun 20 years it's been having this business that I've been able to do, you know, this long. It's pretty incredible.
Well, I mentioned when we were talking about having you on earlier in the show that you point out, because I read a lot of the book, I'm going to finish it too, that when you're working at the Merck, you're 36 years old, and I think this is, for a lot of people who are in their 30s and are thinking about making a change, I think this is really interesting to see stories like this. And because you weren't one of the guys making a ton of money, you felt like, well, I can take this chance, because it was very risky. I mean, there were just barely websites at that time, and you borrowed money from your brother-in-law, and you had a couple other investors. And had you been more successful at the Merck, you kind of suggested that maybe you would not have done this. So it was your lack of
100%.
Success.
I'd be too comfortable, and I lay awake at night, and I really think about that sometimes, where if I was making more money, if I was more successful, I never would have taken this chance. And forgetting the success of the website and the money, you know, we've made over 20 years, the joy of owning your own business and having a job that's this much fun, you know, you just can't put a dollar amount on something like that, but the funny thing is my failures led to my success.
Yeah,
yeah, so, no doubt.
So and, often does, though, for people.
Yeah, yeah. I really had nothing to lose, and I do remember standing at the pit, in the pit, clerking, looking at the clock, thinking, man, if I could do this Mr. Skin thing and make an extra $10,000 a year, you know, when I get my next job, it'll be a really good extra cash. And I truly remember that, never dreaming that, you know, 20 years later, I'd still have 40 people working for me and everything else. And I never, ever would have took that chance if I wasn't living check to check and had no money in the bank and really nothing to lose, you know?
Well, I think that's part of doing something you like because, you know, when I was first working in radio, making $113 a week clearing with a college degree, and I was thinking seriously, God, if I could just make $30,000 a year, this would be a blast. I'd do this. It's so much fun. I'd be happy.
Yep.
And I meant it in my head, and I'm sure you did too. So
I did.
You know, totally. A lot of times if you're in something that you feel so strongly about, as you do, about your topic. And I really loved reading about, because this is so relatable for me, being just a few years older than you, growing up in River Forest outside Chicago, and the rare chances there were to get nudity, even though you said your folks had every premium channel and you had two Betamax recorders, so you were constantly recording movies that had the N in them for nudity?
Yeah. And I turned into a master Betamaxer, if you know what I mean back then. But, yeah, you know, it's like to young guys today in their 20s, or Mark, it's something that you can't relate to where all you had was CBS, NBC, and ABC. And I talk about it in the book where all of a sudden there was this convergence of technologies where, you know, I was in my teens and my dad gets me cable TV and a Betamax at the exact same time. And it just blew my mind. And I think it was, you know, it's like those guys that grew up in the Depression, you know, how they save all their pennies. I went away with the nudity is I didn't want to ever lose this, so I just taped any movie that had an N on it. I don't care if it was 4 seconds or, you know, 5 minutes of nudity. I would record the movie and then edit those nude scenes onto other, you know, tapes. And I started to collect these great compilation.
And of course, you were very popular with your friends and later in college, of course.
Well, and then on
they loved it. The guys loved it.
And the first time.
There was nowhere to go. There was nowhere else to go other than. There was nowhere else to go to see this. You couldn't go on a phone or go on the internet. So the guys would come to my place before we'd go out on the weekends and we'd watch these things and then hit the street, you know?
Well, it was interesting, too, because when we first had you on, we were blown away just with how you would say, oh, yeah, go forward to, you know, minute 28, 30 seconds, you see part of a butt, you know, just the photographic memory. And then in the book, we see the flashcards that you actually had later on, which was really cool. And I love the idea of you sitting there studying nudity.
Yeah, I used to. But you got to understand that those, and I, by the way, I call them flashcards. Those hey. those cards I had the early 90s, way before I ever made a decision to be Mr. Skin, way before the internet, way before this business started, I was just doing that to keep organized on all my nudity, just like a guy that organizes his baseball cards. These Amen. Are my nudity cards. And that's how I quizzed myself and tested myself. And no one was going to, other than my friends at bars and parties, I would just do this to stay on top of all this great nudity.
Well, I love the personal part of the book. And also, there's a lot of great top five lists you have, the top five PG-13 nude scenes, you know, from back in the day, the fave TV moms that were nude. And then you mentioned, who was the one? Oh, the Melinda Dillon from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It was like you'd see her in Christmas. What was the movie, Christmas Story?
Ralphie, it was Red Ryder BB gun. What? She was the mom in that movie. Oh. And I was watching, when I saw the movie Slapshot for the first time, you know, I still love that movie, but the scene when Paul Newman's in bed with Hanrahan's wife, that was Melinda Dillon. And in the book, this was before Ralphie and his Red Ryder BB gun, but I remembered her from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So I was blown away by that. Then when that movie came out, all through the 80s and 90s, I would amaze my friends with telling them that Ralphie's mom has some of the best breasts I've ever seen. So,
yeah, want to see the mom's tits?
Yeah, but I got to tell you, you mentioned the list, and I have comics and sidebars and all that. I figured most of my friends aren't going to read an actual book, so I figured I'd throw in, for those who don't read, a lot of good top fives and sidebars and comics and stuff like that.
Yeah, those are really good. It's funny, and I'm sure anybody who's 40 or 30 years old, and we do have plenty of those listening, when you're talking about the options to see something exciting in 1975, the Sears catalog bra ads, and they probably yeah. think you're kidding, but honestly, I remember seeing those catalogs and going, hey, look at that. And National Geographic, every male alive then knew that you could see nudity in National Geographic. I'm convinced that's why they put it out.
100%.
It was a way to sneak nudity out.
And I think about if I grew up, I have a 13-year-old son who's the exact same age when I started getting super into all this stuff. And I think if we switched places, there's no way that I would have the interest in this. Because to him, it's so easily accessible. To me, I had to work so hard to see a nude scene that I didn't want to let go, you know, and I wanted to save those things, and it's kind of crazy.
And then when somebody like Linda Carter's in Bobby Joe and the Outlaw, you know, Wonder Woman, and her breasts, it's like, oh my God, Linda Carter! I mean, it was really a big deal, but now...
Well, that was big also because as a young taper after my dad got me a cable in the Betamax. It was one of the first movies I taped, and I had never heard of the movie. I knew there was nudity because of the N in the cable guide, but I thought, there's no way Linda Carter's going to get naked. And I had seen her in that red, white, and blue dominatrix outfit with the big breasts, and I was in love with her. I saw that movie, and I remember thinking to myself, if Linda Carter's done a nude scene, who else is out there? And I've been on a quest ever since.
So. Teen sex comedy is your top five list. As you move into the 80s, there's really a lot more nudity, but you know it is in a certain genre or two. You mentioned Kelly Preston in Mischief, which I just checked out, by the way. Karen Kay in My Tutor, which is...
Remember the movie My Tutor? That aired on cable TV all through the 80s and 90s, and it was Karen Kay really never went on to big career or anything, but oh my God, she played this French teacher, this rich kid, Matt Latanzi, who went on to marry Olivia Newton-John, by the way.
Yeah.
She ended up tutoring him, and of course, he spies on her skinny dipping, and only in the 80s, the teacher and student would have an affair that no one thought was kind of crazy. It was just awesome.
There's some hot scenes. Porky's, Last American Virgin with Diane Franklin. Yeah. That was a good... I like that movie, too. Not just the nudity, but the movie was pretty good.
Yeah, you know, the ending of Last American Virgin is one of the most devastating endings of any movie, and yet it's still a teen sex comedy classic. But did you ever think about how there's no way you could make those movies today? Think Revenge of the Nerds, for instance. We all could quote lines from that. Mm-hmm. We all remember the movie, but I mean, think about it. These guys had cameras in the spying on these girls in a sorority, and then they took pictures of the girls and distributed them around the college campus like it was no big deal. I mean, that stuff, you just couldn't do that. And I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying that there's no way you can make movies like that anymore.
Phoebe Cates finally in Fast Times, which is one of your favorite.
Number one.
Favorite.
Always has been.
Yeah, that's a fabulous
great movie.
Scene.
Everything else.
Going through the book, it's really cool. You're incredible. You're way more loyal than I guess I ever thought about with Pete. Yeah, I was with you from the start. And
I have people that have been with me 17, 18 years. I had a guy today. It was literally today is 15th anniversary of working for me, and to my detriment, I think I'm a little too loyal, but I have a very loyal team. I will say that, no question about it.
And I like the idea too. Some guy came up to you and said, "Hey, ever think about making a website?" And you're like, "What's that?" And you learned about it, and you actually went back to him to have that company build the website.
Yeah, I didn't know when he approached me in the summer of '97. Because I had become a bit of a local Chicago radio celebrity from being this guy that would go on different radio shows and you'd ask him questions. Because of that, I would be at radio events, again, with nothing to promote, with no agenda, just doing this because I really enjoyed it, and it was fun. He came up to me at an event and said, "You got to put what's in your head into a website." And I looked at him and flat out said, "What's the website?" I had no idea. And I raised a little money from my brother-in-law, like you said, and that other trader at the Merck, and I thought I was going to completely blow their money. That's why I gave the great businessman I am, I gave each of them 40% ownership and me 20%. That's how sophisticated I was. And, I was going to do 100% of the work, but they would have 80% of the ownership. So anyway, that's part of, you learn that. I've since bought them all out and all that and own it 100%. But those are the things that I was just naive and just never expected this to be what it became.
Well, you needed them at the time, and it all worked out. So,
I didn't need 80% for 75,000 or 70 grand.
But you were still way ahead of the curve of the website. MrSkin.com is older than Google. It's older than Wikipedia.
Really? Oh, that's right.
Older than YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all those sites. Yeah.
How about that? And, it's funny, too, how this becomes a family affair because, when somebody's doing something, maybe it's a little off color. You look at it like when the first time you're on the radio, you didn't want to use your name, although Mr. Skin is your name to me. But so Harry Tynowitz, bless him. I hope he's doing okay. Hi, Harry. Harry suggested Mr. Skin, and you used that. But as this got more successful, this is what always happens. It's like, hey, this is really cool. And your sister, Christina, she's helping you load
she's
all
been
this
with
stuff.
Me for, she's been here about 18 years as my head. She's done a bunch of things, but she's the head of my HR department.
And Christina had no idea you were taping all these scenes as a kid and going down in the basement to check them out in the morning before everybody got up.
I was very stealth. Yes.
And then the other one that I loved was, I know your mom, of course, is you've taken some funny questions from your mom as she's been helping you. And also, I love the story about Aunt Margie, who says she was reading an article about you or an interview with you. And what magazine was it in?
It was like a really dirty, porn magazine. And I can't remember which magazine.
You said it was similar to Jugs.
Yeah, it was one of those. It was really dirty. Yet she was just sitting there, and she goes to church every day, not once a week, every day.
Yeah, boy.
And she's sitting there reading and so happy for my success. And see, that's my life, and there's a lot of that kind of funny, goofy stuff in there,
whatever. Of course. So. And your mom, would she ask you something like, does this count as Bush?
Yeah. Well, my mom works as a skin turn, still does to this day, and she lives in Arizona, and I get an email from her a few years ago, and it says, she was wondering if this picture she attached, she said, is that a shadow or Bush? And I'm thinking to myself, my poor mom,
Well, you live on a fixed income. If you can work for Mr. Skin and help out.
No, that's one of the great things. I have my cousin's wife works part-time from Arizona. My sister's full-time. My mom, to be able to help out your family when you have a business is a great luxury, trust me.
Pretty sweet. I bet you never dreamed, and I'm not asking you, but I bet you never dreamed you would have a payroll like you have now. Uh-huh. 50?
Oh my God.
How many people? There's a picture of the staff. Was it 50 people or something?
I have, it's like 40 full-time and probably like 6 or 7 part-time. And we have developers. Like in my office, I'm looking out right now at my office. We have like 6 developers that are, work out of our office, and then we have a bunch of guys. Some are like in Russia and Brazil and different places. They work for us full time, but they're obviously remote, and they're fantastic, and they're on chat with us, and we could see them, but they're, these guys are in other countries, and it's pretty cool. You need really good tech, obviously, to run a site like we have, but again, these guys are spectacular, and it's hard to find good tech help in Chicago because there's so many big companies that scoop those guys up.
And I've been in the office. There's a lot of people in there looking at a lot of videos and, doing it very professionally. And these people have health insurance. They're full time, right?
Oh, yeah. We have profit sharing. We have a great health insurance plan. We take really good care of our team. People are very appreciative. And I think about that's another thing that I'm, in doing this book and thinking back in the 20 years, when you think about it, forgetting the joke of what it is and everything, but I have people here that have raised families, kids, sent their kids to school, paid mortgages, did you know, basically built their own families around this business, and it's something that, you know, it's something to be proud of, even though it's a screwy business. You know?
Hell yeah!
You point to three big moments in the history of the site.
Three skin-fining moments.
Yes. Very skin-fining moments. The Howard stuff is great. It's funny to see that you were actually nervous being on Howard because you're such a pro now. Knocked up, of course. But then you mentioned one of the worst days for radio in general was the Janet Jackson boob display, but you said the day after was your biggest sign-up day. I don't know if it was in history up to that point.
To this day, it was my biggest sign-up day ever, because you got to remember when that happened in, 03, 04 there. Nobody knew it was coming. Second of all, it was before TiVo's, right? Very few people were recording the halftime thing. So then it happens, and it's before Facebook, it's before YouTube, it's before Twitter. And I had been going on radio shows for 3 or 4 years as this expert on celebrity nudity. So where did people all over the country, when that was such a huge story the next morning, where did they think to go to see it? They all thought Mr. Skin. And luckily, I had that night found a great picture of it and put it up at the website, but not having no idea that many people would come to see it. And they did, and it was our biggest day we ever had the morning after that Super Bowl with Janet Jackson. But you point out, it also screwed me from the standpoint of tons of big radio shows that I was regularly going on had to stop having me soon after because the FCC was up their ass so bad that they had to go totally PG on a lot of these radio shows, and you guys probably remember that.
I do, but I remember also we had you on, and your previous 5 shows had been canceled, and we had you on that morning, and it was a little awkward, but... We kept going. Kept moving along.
It was weird.
So, 2004 was a phenomenal year for Mr. Skin. These top five lists, top five one-tit wonders, top five nip slips, so many.
I like the
lists.
Top five, I think it was surprises of people that were nude.
Oh, yeah.
One being, not number one, but one on the list, I think it was number four, was Ellen DeGeneres. Did it
How is that?
Trudy looks horrified.
What?
And I got to tell you.
Is it good?
Yeah, you'd be surprised how great a rack looked. But this was way back in 2000. This was it's about 19 years ago. But yeah, she looked great.
Is this before she was gay?
So disguised, though. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Who else was on that list of unknowns?
Do
you remember
Marsha Brady?
Is the list? Yeah, Marsha Brady's on the list. I probably
I wrote that down.
Oh yeah, that was
Julie Andrews.
Oh yeah, SOB.
And then Vanna
S-O-B.
White.
Is that not surprising that Vanna White did an amazing nude scene? She did a movie called Gypsy Angels, and it's a long forgotten film. Other than the fact that Vanna White did a couple great nude scenes, and as you could imagine, fantastic rack. But I'll also tell you this: they've never released like a high res version of that. That's going back to my old videotape days. to have that for the website. It's just a Blu-ray edition of Gypsy Angels does not exist.
Molly Ringwald completes the top five. And that's
you
a good scene.
You would be shocked how great her breasts look at the 15-minute mark of Malicious.
Not shocked at all. Seen it on your site, of course. Yep. I looked up a lot of stuff while I was reading the book, by the way, which was fun.
That's the fun part is when I talk about something in the book, you could always check it out at the website if you want to see it. So.
This Ellen scene, it's her and Sharon Stone, and I can't tell who's who at times because they both have the same haircut.
Yeah,
I know. They're both short-haired. Yeah, but Sharon Stone's on the bottom to start, so that's an easy one for you.
Uh-huh.
Do you visually know these things? I mean, do you remember them numerically, or is it a visual?
My wife thinks I have a photographic memory, but I really don't because, you know, I'll be at a party with her, and she'll introduce me to someone, and 10 minutes later, I'll say, what was her name again? So I don't know.
Just for
nudity. I don't know why I remember this stuff, but I do.
If she'd been nude, you would have remembered it.
That, you know what? That's if she would show me her nude, I'd always remember her.
It's very savant-like.
I'm going to try that with my wife's friends. Let me work on it.
Is there anybody, because you're very positive, you've spoken out about that you're positive. You don't try to put people down. I think that's smart, and it's good, and it's worked. But is there anyone who has ever said, hey, I want to be scrubbed from the site?
Yes, but it's not famous people. It's like, you know, it'll be like, hey, I'm a school teacher now. Oh. I did a movie in the 90s that I regret doing. You know, you get that kind of stuff, but not like famous people, because famous people are all over. You know, it's just, it's the ones that are more obscure that you might get those. Not too often, but it happens.
And do you scrub them?
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
of course.
Well, some people wouldn't be so fast to do that, but that's cool. It's not going to hurt you.
Well, I've had ones where it's like a Muslim actress will be like, hey, I live in a Muslim country, and if people find out I'm going to be killed, I'm like, get that off the site ASAP. You know?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
And anybody who was...
As if you're the problem in that scenario.
Well, listen, not it's the least I could do. No, I mean, obviously, there's more problems going for them than that, but yeah.
Was there anyone who was initially upset and it grew on them? I mean, did you get those where people said, hey, I don't like this, and they kind of got over it?
You know, I can't really think about it. I mean, I don't really have examples of that. I know if you look on the back of the book, we got some really cool quotes from actresses that have said really nice things about us, like Anna Paquin and Sarah Silverman and Alexandra Daddario. And I like that stuff because, you know, I get it. I'm not naive to think some actresses would have a problem with this, but on the flip side, I would never put like stolen cell phone pics up or take like sneaky pics in the bush, hiding in the bushes, and post it. It's only a database of every nude scene in the history of movies and television, male and female, when you go to Mr. Man. So yeah, you know, again, I'm not naive about it, but at the same time, we're also very, very positive. Even when Kathy Bates does a nude scene, we're happy about it. So that's always been our policy.
I love what Jimmy Kimmel said. I no longer have to waste valuable time with plot.
Amen. 20 million monthly visits, 45 million page views. Does that include Mr. Man?
Yeah, it's all our websites combined. Yeah. Wow.
Are the Russian miners from Chernobyl on Mr. Man yet?
Oh, I'm sure they are. I haven't checked it out, but yeah, I'm sure. If we can ID you, You'll be in. But problem is, some of these guys, you know, a penis from 40 yards away of an unknown actor will not make Mr. Man. Yeah,
there was a lot of wieners in that scene. And
pretty close.
Euphoria coming up on HBO is going to have a lot of wieners.
I was going to bring that up to you guys. They're talking about, like, this is going to be off the charts amounts of nudity and abuse this weekend. So I'll keep you posted. I haven't seen it, but I've read about it. And what's weird about it is it's all young, you know, it's about, you know, high school students.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to have, like, there's one scene supposedly where you see 30 cocks in one scene. So, it's going to be crazy. Well, Mr. Man will have a field day with that one.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, yeah. Skin, congratulations. MrSkin.com, of course. And there's always a lot of material. If you're not a member or such, there's always still plenty to see. And being Mr. Skin, is it on our favorite things?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's very nice. Thanks. Yeah. Hey, and one other thing. Let's go University of Michigan baseball, man. I'm so excited.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You have a connection
of
sorts.
Yeah, good friend. The catcher's dad is a really good friend of mine, Joe Donovan. His father and I are very, very good buddies. So I've been following them the last 2 years really closely, and it's so cool. That UCLA series was so much fun to watch.
Yeah. God, that was great. Isn't it great to see college baseball getting some time on TV?
They're so good, man. They're so much better. Think about when you played. How many guys throw 94 did you face?
Shot it, Drew.
The velocity, I know. I did face a couple guys who threw hard like that. Otley Homaker pitched for Middle Tennessee or East Tennessee State, one of those. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Liebrandt and
Lee Guterman.
Lee Guterman for Liberty Baptist, who Sid Bream was playing first base for them, too. And that was
Liberty Baptist. They're still a good baseball program.
Yeah, I bet they are. They were. That was the first time Virginia Tech ever lost to Liberty Baptist. I'm sorry to say. Sid Bream hit a ball that I think it's still traveling.
And he's still going around the bases.
Yes.
So slow.
And how is Bo doing with his
baseball?
Very,
very good. He actually fractured his heel right at the beginning of the season and played 5 weeks on a fractured heel. I want to get my Dad of the Year award for that. So anyway, but he's getting his boot off Monday, and he missed 2 weeks of the season. But he actually had a great 5 weeks on a fractured heel. I can't wait to see what he'll do when he can actually move. So
Is there any more good videos of him online? I always like keeping up with Bo.
You know what? It's been his first 5 weeks, it was so cold. My hands were too cold to videotape, but I'm going to get a lot of stuff now that it's warming up, and I'll definitely post for you.
All right, let me know. We want to keep up with him. And Skin, congratulations on the book and on everything, and being Mr. Skin, available now, of course.
Yeah, overall, well, thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thank
Great
you,
talking.
Skin. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Adios.
You got it.
Oh, boy, Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah. Ooh,
look at that.
It's a wild scene, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Looks very nice.
I mean, when she wears...
Respectable boobs.
She wore something very... It's like a formal gown or something. Was that April Fool's Day?
It was...
She looked great.
Didn't she have her bra stuffed? Yeah, it was Halloween, I think.
Oh, she's stuffing?
Yeah.
She doesn't need to stuff.
Well, it might be a little different. Maybe there's a little stuffing.
But yeah, Mr. Skin
is quite the empire he's built.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
I love that story about his aunt.
Aunt Margie. Really, I know, it's really funny.
A lot of good little stories in there.
Yeah, it's a fun book. And again, those top five lists. Let's see, one more. Top five one-tit wonders. Kirstie Alley and Blind Date. Cindy Morgan and Caddyshack. Suzanne Summers in Magnum Force. For some reason, I thought there were both. But maybe there's just one. Nicolette Sheridan in Raw Nerve. I never knew Nicolette Sheridan was nude.
No.
And Melinda Dillon in Slapshot, which was... I was when there wasn't much nudity available. But he did have the advantage of having a dad who got the full cable package, too, with all the premium channels, and had two Betamax recorders back in, you know, 1978. And his area was, which was River Forest, was one of the first to get cable.
See, all those things combined to make that happen.
I know, that's fate. You know,
perfect storm.
Hard work and luck meet, create success. For one of our good friends, Mr. Skin, boy, he's been on the show for a long time. And I did kind of want to take exception to the fact that Bob Rivers got referenced before us. I think I really believe we turned Bob Rivers on to Mr. Skin. I think he'd been on our show many times, and we told Bob because we were sharing things back and forth. And then Bob had him.
First.
Amen. Let's see. This weekend, there is a Best of Drew and Mike show. Anything that you want to mention on the Best of? Is Dustin Diamond going to make the cut this week?
The second one? Sure, we can do that. Other than that, I haven't looked at the list yet.
Did you run the one where he was trying to get the bank, the loan?
Yes.
The
land country? Yeah, that was last
God,
week.
That was just... This one's better.
It was actually really simple.
He's more ridiculous in this one, and he hangs up on us. And that's really where the major bet... We should have already been in a huge fight with him. But the thing about these two calls, because when we had him on when he was playing in Berkeley, I knew, is he going to remember us? And I kind of knew he would, and he did. And we talked about it, and he was an asshole again.
Wow.
But for some reason, I sort of felt like we had earned it a little bit. But as I listened back to those two calls, I don't think we earned it at all.
No, we were trying to figure it out.
He's unquestionably
Huckster.
An insane ass on the whole land contracts. Like, why? What do you mean? Why would people buy 30,000 T-shirts to buy your house for you? Fuck you. And the story was bogus.
The Drew and Mike store will have new merch soon, new T-shirts.
Oh, right. Really?
Absolutely.
Joe did post some new stuff today. Just stickers and pop sockets, but the shirts and the other things are coming. LaDuff has his book on there, and so does ML.
Cool.
So,
yeah, and I saw Charlie signed some personalized copies for people that asked for them.
You can still buy a personalized copy on the DrewandMikeStore.com.
Did you say Elric's putting a shirt out?
Elric is putting a shirt out. That's not up yet, but the Kwame Sutra is up there, too.
And I look forward to listening to Elric's show because I thought this was such a great idea because, you know, these guys, Charlie and ML, they can't just wing a show or go, yeah, we'll do this. They have to have something, a theme or a special guest. And so this week he wanted to take the Kwame letter to Donald Trump and break it down, kind of fact check it.
Yeah.
With one of the federal prosecutors.
Ooh, wow.
Michael Bellotta.
And Michael came in and you know, I saw he was in a suit and I was like, oh, here comes someone important to my house. And I'm just getting up and a little bleary eyed and couldn't have been nicer. He's listened to the show for a long time. I think he still listens to the show.
Yeah.
So that was
he took
nice.
A picture of Mags and Layla for his paralegal.
Wow.
She wanted a picture of him.
He said a lot of the feds were listening to us back then.
Hey, I got to tell you, it's really a good listen the way he breaks. I mean, he breaks it down like a trial attorney would, and he makes some points about the everlasting damage that Kilpatrick did to the city.
And he's so quick to say, I didn't do anything. I didn't cost the city any money. And you know, sometimes you have to think a little bit to think specifically how it costs the city money. But once you start thinking, it doesn't take long to realize he cost the city a ton of money. I thought,
and then he also cost individuals. He separated them from their own money too.
People
that didn't have much money, and Michael talks about that in the episode.
But when they originally said he owed, I think it was $900,000, and he was paying $6 a month, that whole line of BS, which they busted him for. He lied his ass off on the stand. And then when they convicted him, they upped it to, I don't know, maybe it was $3.5 million or some large amount. And he got it reduced. And when they reduced it, I think it's about $1 million, which, of course, he hasn't paid a cent.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could make a case for him paying a lot more than that. Way more than that. Because there's some things that cost the city where you can't specifically necessarily say how much. But anyway, should be great to listen to. I'm going to do it after the show. And I want to mention the weekend show is brought to you by Scott Kunith, who's been doing real estate since his radio days at WRIF ended. And in fact, I think he listed a couple houses with our people, which All is right. great to hear. And hopefully everything's working out nicely. Call, text, or email Realtor Scott Kunith, the rising star of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual, to see what your home is worth. Or if you want help in finding your new one, call Scott, at 248-797-7746. Or you can email him at skunath, S-K-U-N-N-A-T-H, at cbwm.com. Again, 248-797-7746. He's happy to talk to you on the phone, or if you want to text, get something going. And he does talk in drops. He listens to the show, which is the best kind of advertiser.
Hey, there was another piece of breaking news today we didn't talk about. I don't even know if you know, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders is leaving at the end of the month.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well, she'll be embraced, I'm sure, in the private sector.
Oh, she won't have any trouble. She did a good job for what that job was.
Yeah, that's not an easy gig.
She will have no problem finding a job.
I'm really...
Donald has aspirations of her becoming the governor of Arkansas. So,
oh, really?
Following in her father's footsteps. Yes.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't
know. That means we get a new one.
I'm amazed at the hatred directed at her because she is the mouthpiece for the president. And sometimes I feel like, you know, I read people like Jim Carrey and the dramatic things they say. And, you know, she's the mouthpiece for a fascist or, you know, various incarnations of horrifying things. I don't find her to be a terribly likable person, but I don't think that's her job. Her job is to...
No, I know.
She's his public relations. She's the face of the presidency. And some people seem to imply that no one should have that job. That if you're doing that job, you're forwarding, you know, the words of a fascist or the, you know, the agenda of a fascist. And
Of course,
he has to have a mouthpiece.
Those people are idiots.
I think so, too.
You cannot like the president but admire the job she did.
Well, you can judge her on doing her job, but, you know, there were people swearing that Bill Clinton never did anything with Monica Lewinsky, too. That wasn't true, and they didn't know that. Well, they probably did know it was a lie, but that's their job.
That was spokesman's hosting GMA and looking very tiny in the car. Wasn't he a supposed to Steffi as spokesperson?
George?
Or was he just director of community? He might have been bigger than
that. Chief of staff, wasn't he?
I don't think he was the... I don't think he was a spokesperson.
Director of communications?
I don't remember him having press conference. I don't remember the daily briefings with him. But
I do remember in that documentary, didn't he have like naked chicks in his office? Like, or pure chicks? I swear he did. I thought he was kind of a
chick hound. He thought he was hot back then. He wore a blue jean jacket. He was like the cool chief of staff. I know. He looks really stupid, too. I don't know. He's a little caught up in himself. You have to hear how often he nails his wife. Yeah. It's like, oh, please.
That was Stern's fault. Yeah, he's the White House Director of Communications.
Yeah, and he had a good book. He's persona non grata with the Clintons now because of his book. Because once you're out, you're out.
I kind of overall like him, actually.
I like him okay. Right. I thought he was okay.
Wait, he was fired up this morning, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's the first time he's been fired up on GMA. You know,
he's talking
forever.
To Trump for about 30 seconds, and Trump just throws out this wild card that, I mean, it's brought all afternoon when I had CNN, and it was about, you know, Trump impeachment talk fires up again because of something he said to George. I mean, literally, like, just threw it out there. It wasn't even
Yeah.
You know,
well, he said he would take help from a foreign government if it was.
Well, he said he would listen.
Yeah.
And he also said
his follow-up tweet was great, by the way.
This I got a chuckle out of. He said, hey, if you called the FBI every time, FBI would never get anything done. And then he went on to say that I don't think I've ever called the FBI. And so, of course, someone uncovered that he did call the FBI in the 80s about something.
Oh, what was it?
I don't know. I wasn't really paying terrible amount of attention, but it was just kind of funny how, you know, of course, he says anything and he's busted immediately.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And somebody had quantified the number of lies he told. And it was, I forgot what the number was. It was insane. It was like there's, you know, 1.8 major lies a day. And they said, you know, 8 total lies a day or something. I don't know. It was
that's sort of an old bit. They need to come up with a new twist on that.
Yeah, it's hard to define a lie, too, because politicians do by nature lie. He certainly says strange things. I thought he said, what do you say to Stefan? I'm the most honest. I'm an honest person. I'm one of the most honest presidents of all time.
He loves the truth, is what he said. Yeah.
I love the truth.
I don't know if that's grounds for impeachment, the interview with George Stephanopoulos, but people sure were having fun with it. So as far as this weekend, then we've got
Father's Day.
Oh, yeah, Father's Day. Mm-hmm. Well. Mm. Any special plans?
Sure.
Father's Day doesn't quite have the juice of Mother's Day.
It has
Day.
No juice.
Working?
Father's Day, yeah, we will be here. Yeah, Father's Day has no juice.
I thought about Father's Day for about 5 seconds, like, well, are we doing the show on Father's Day? Of course we're doing the show on Father's Day. It's only Father's Day. Who fucking cares?
Who cares about Father's Day?
How many new fathers there are on this show, though? It's pretty cool.
I know. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know,
is this your first? No, this is your first, is it? How old's Maddie?
Madeline, yeah.
Yeah, this is your first. Oh, well, congratulations.
Wow. Thank you. I will be celebrating by getting my wisdom teeth taken out. And then going to a wedding and trying to eat a steak that I already ordered.
Gross.
I want that steak.
Sounds like the worst Father's Day ever.
I want to mention, Brandon, that I'm proud of millennials for this. Mm-hmm. Boy, there's a lot of feedback. People are really behind Brandon for defending their ilk, the millennials. They feel that they cannot be properly pounded on in this show because they have Brandon has their back.
I do.
And today...
Wait, they don't get pounded on.
Right.
What are you talking about?
There's a lot of unflattering things written about millennials.
I just point out things that they've killed.
There are 4 millennial stories a day that this show talks about.
There's 4 we could talk about. This is a good story. I thought it was a good story. It was actually a negative story. And a lot of times I take the negative things about millennials and feel they're really not negative because, well, first of all the business about helicopter parents and all the help and, you know, mom came to my meeting for the promotion or whatever, that's the parents have done this. It's not like these kids said, you have to helicopter me. You have to plow any stress away from my life. I mean, those words, helicopter parents and plowing parents or whatever.
Snowplow parents.
Or bulldozer?
Yeah. That's about the parents. That's not the kid isn't deciding all that. So, yeah. I mean, I get that entirely. Yeah. And plus, there's way too much generalizing about millennials.
Agreed.
But the brands millennials are killing, I thought this was a funny list because, for example, number one was Diet Pepsi. And who likes Diet Pepsi?
Why is the millennials killing it, by the way?
Because they won't fall for it? Because people drank... they spent gazillions of dollars...
Are you saying that boomers and Gen X really, really want Diet Pepsi?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they do, but they drink it.
It was the choice of a new generation.
I think Diet Pepsi and Pepsi are mob things, because you go to Las Vegas and you can't get a Coke.
Yeah.
It's like the city's wired. You go to Comerica Park, you can't get a Coke.
Really?
Now, you mean to tell me that somebody at Comerica Park surveyed the office and they said, oh, we got to take Pepsi, not Coke? No, somebody strong-armed them and, you know, it's a deal. And I mean, I'm convinced anytime I can't get a Coke, and I always ask, you know I do, I say, so when you say we only have Pepsi, how many people? And they always go, a lot of people don't seem to like Pepsi.
99% would
ask. I feel like it is.
Then why do those places have it?
Because they have a deal.
It's not a rum and Pepsi.
It's either you have Pepsi and no Coke or Coke and no Pepsi, apparently.
No, I know. But my point is if so many people are just, very upset about it, then
that's why I think it's a mob thing. That's why I really think it's a mob thing.
Well, they do own restaurants. Don't they own Burger King and Taco Bell? Doesn't PepsiCo own them? They own Fritos. So maybe maybe they can take a loss on their cola.
How did they get Las Vegas to just eliminate Coca-Cola?
Yeah, Mom,
that's
you're right,
pretty
Mom.
Huge. So anyway, the millennials refuse to drink it. They apparently get water when they're offered Pepsi or nothing or Diet Pepsi. Crocs are being killed by millennials.
Great. Welcome.
Again.
Good thing.
You're welcome.
I like Crocs. Crocs
Wheaties. Wheaties breakfast cereal
Wheaties
is apparently
suck. Thank you, millennials.
Wheaties were nasty.
You
Wheaties
know what?
Are terrible.
If
good
Xers
job.
And boomers were buying it, we wouldn't be killing it. I don't get this.
No, we are buying. You guys are buying.
I don't really get it either, Brandon. Tiffany, the jeweler.
Oh, really?
They're way down.
Good.
Campbell's Soup.
That's because they don't like things. They like experience.
Campbell's Soup, which has been around forever. And honestly,
too much sodium.
I don't hate Campbell's Soup, but the ingredients don't agree with millennials.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So too much sodium
they,
for real?
They think it's unhealthy. They think Campbell's Soup is unhealthy.
Actually, the death of Campbell's Soup is caused by more better soup being created
probably.
And sold. So it's not millennials.
Well, if you go to these highfalutin grocery stores, you can pick up fantastic soup on site.
I think soup is overrated in general.
I do too. Although I do like it once in a while.
Have you
once
really?
In a while
have
I
you
like
ever
soup.
Gone? Oh God, I could go for a bowl of soup.
Yeah,
it does.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
If I'm hungry at a restaurant and there's a good soup like clam chowder, I love clam chowder.
Or which one?
Or bisque.
Lobster bisque is awesome too, with a pastry on top. It rocks.
New England or Manhattan?
Yeah, but that's more bread than soup.
New England. I know, but I love bread.
That's my point, though. No one wants the soup.
I do like the soup. I really do.
How many people do you think, when they have soup or salad, they choose soup over salad?
Well, there's soup and salad, too.
Yeah, but usually isn't that
the
option,
that,
soup or
salad? I know some people who just...
Olive Garden.
They, like, a meal isn't complete without soup, which I don't understand at all.
How old are these people?
Yeah, a little older. Budweiser's being killed by millennials.
What?
Yep. Millennials
dicks.
Like draft beer, craft beers, and all
dicks.
These funky beers. Kodak, which should be dead. I don't
already
think it's millennials.
Dead.
Yeah. Did, you know what I read in this story, though, that was funny, was that Kodak is dabbling in cryptocurrencies to survive.
Okay, that'll work. Good job.
Why don't you dabble in the next phase
I don't know.
Of photography?
What is Bitcoin doing now?
It was going. It was doing really well.
It was doing really well there for a while.
Zooves?
Around 8,000.
8,000? Well,
what's
it,
Ether at?
It was at 4,000 or something.
260.
Harley Davidson?
Oh, good job.
I'm surprised. Why are you guys killing Harley Davidson, Brandon?
Well, personally, I don't think that we're killing Harley Davidson, but...
Well, what do you mean? That's this whole list.
No, they're not. Young people aren't buying motorcycles.
Guys aren't buying.
Millennials aren't killing
I know young guys that have motorcycles.
Well, not enough.
Well,
go buy one.
I mean, it could be that some of them can't afford them.
Oh, because of the college
is
loans.
Is their tuition?
I'm just saying. Maybe they want priorities, like they want to, you know, maybe
right.
buy their house instead.
But that's an experience, taking the hog out.
I always thought that Harley Davidsons were purchased by people who were middle-aged.
Ooh, that's what it is then.
I swear, I thought I did.
Stigmatized.
I don't think so.
I don't think that's true.
In fact, a lot of the young kids my age growing up were buying crotch rockets instead.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right.
Not that I have a
well, that's why they're
they
killing
were.
It. They're buying crotch
remember
rockets.
When Harley went through that period where they said... Well, people who are upstanding by Harley is people with a lot of money because of the image of it being gang, you know, and gnarly guys.
Was badass and the
long
logo's
hair
cool.
And stuff like that. And so they needed to redefine themselves.
Yeah, and they came up with all that merch, which did well for a while, I guess. Millennials are killing Jell-O. And again, health and wellness.
Jell-O?
Jell-O's not healthy.
Jell-O rules.
It's, I love Jell-O.
A little high in sugars. And
it's sugar-free.
Wait. So you're saying that
you're killing Jell-O.
You know, a group of people who are, you know, within a 15-year range, if just that group isn't buying it, they're the ones that are killing it.
Well, yeah. they're trendsetters.
How do you know Xers aren't fucking buying it?
No, we are. You guys
are you really? Well, mm-hmm. Can you prove it?
We didn't have a problem until you guys came along.
Sure.
Don't let
we
the
don't
Xers
care
off the hook,
if it goes, but...
I think the millennials are taking partial blame for the Xers, but clearly the millennials are not into Jell-O. For whatever
reason. Jell-O shots, on the other hand, are saving Jell-O. Yeah.
Maybe.
Exactly. In fact, I'm pretty sure that the millennials have done more with Jell-O because of Jell-O shots.
Not enough.
All right. Well, millennials do like spirits. They don't like beer, so they probably have helped Jell-O shots. That's a good point.
Every millennial I know likes beer.
Well, that's not a millennial trait.
Not Budweiser, though.
Yeah, Budweiser really sunk. The Gap. And the feeling there is that the Gap is boring. And
really?
I really don't know why did the Gap do so well for so long.
Those are those swing ads.
Yeah, they had a good marketing.
You know what the gap?
Wait, so
though,
I don't feel we've lost anything if the gap goes down the tubes.
I don't want the gap to go down. Their clothes now are so marked down all the time.
But I think Old Navy is picking up their slack, Judy.
Oh yeah,
isn't Old Navy killing it right now?
Oh yeah, Old Navy is. But Old Navy is of the Gap.
They own them. Yeah,
they? Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. They're the
Chevy Volt.
Well, the feeling was a suicide.
The feeling was though that younger people would like the environmental aspect.
But it's not a looking car.
I know it's expensive too, but millennials like SUVs like everyone else. So
yeah, because gas is cheap.
The Volt didn't quite make it. And then finally, Chef Boyardee.
Oh yeah,
murderers.
Yeah.
Not healthy.
Good riddance.
But Chef Boyardee's around for a long
disgusting
time.
Disgusting.
I don't think, man, it's a big loss.
I gotta tell you,
gross.
One of the interesting things about having
congratulations,
kids,
millennials.
When you have kids, especially as they get older,
so puzzled.
You forget about all this kid shit there was, like snacks. You never have snacks around when you're an adult. Like,
no, no, you're right.
Like fruit, you know, little fruit chews.
Fruit cups and things.
I totally forgot about SpaghettiOs. And now that Char eats SpaghettiOs, I might steal some.
Well, SpaghettiOs rock.
I know, but I couldn't tell you the last time I had SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, I haven't either.
You don't like them?
No. I don't like, no.
No. Oh, millennial.
What?
They're weird tasting.
I don't like SpaghettiOs.
Really? The sauce is kind of weird. I agree.
Yeah,
but I mean, in a pinch, SpaghettiOs
so
are okay.
Jeez,
I think
it's food for the soft. Well, yeah. Hey, by the way, Lauren Brakeman wants to know if we can get a Gen Z kid to run our Instagram.
Yeah, we had one. She
says
left.
Last post was from a month ago.
I can't believe we
Thank
had
you,
one
Lauren.
A month ago.
I know we've got some infrastructure issues, to say the least. I somehow wonder how we make it every month, but thanks to the donate bar, we seem to be hanging in there. Because I really want to eliminate the donate bar, but every time I say that, I go, "Oh my God! Thank God we had the donut, the donate."
Yeah, thank God for millennials who like podcasts, right?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Spicy. Brandon's got a terrible look on his face.
Podcast B without X and Boomer.
This whole bullshit about killing things. If a product is fantastic, it will not die. It won't die.
Well, not if you guys don't like it, though.
Oh, just if. My age group doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Some fantastic right things. Certain
maybe Gen X should
like
maybe buy some shit and make up for it.
No, we don't care.
Oh, we don't care about nothing. We're so fucking cool.
Yeah,
man. You guys went to college for free.
So
they're stuck
cool
with these college
man
loans.
No, you guys are the ones
fucking
that went for free.
Sweet, bro.
Bad.
Don't say bro.
That shit, man.
You know, it took me a long time to pick up fucking on all the sweet anger at baby boomers. I didn't realize there was all this anger at baby boomers. And it hit me when I was
we just fly under the radar.
Yeah, I we don't care, man. We don't fucking exactly care about anything. We're yep so fucking cool.
Doesn't we had uncool
doesn't
parents.
Matter.
Our parents weren't
yeah, our
cool
parents weren't cool at all.
You know, at least millennials' parents liked rock and roll and cool things.
Yeah,
they're
boomers
best friends with their kids.
Yes,
they are.
That's true. So
it
true
all the time. But I was reading about, it was an Apple story about Apple Music declaring this, I think it was 2017, and they were saying, wow, it was a much bigger year than expected. And they credited the continuing downloading of the Beatles because the Beatles weren't on iTunes forever and all of a sudden they were. And oh my God, were people mad in the comments like, oh, fuck the Beatles. It had nothing to do with the Beatles. And then that led to some links about, you know, what the baby boomers have done to the millennials and Gen Z. And I was like, oh my God.
Jeez. Way to go, guys.
Competing with the millennials for hate.
Should be like us, man, because we don't fucking care, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
And also,
we're so fucking cool.
Yep, flying under the radar.
The latest story.
Like Radiohead, Coldplay.
Doesn't matter.
The latest story about millennials being angry at boomers was about jobs and that boomers are staying in jobs. Retire already! Give it up! You're eating up all these great jobs, and you know you're in your 60s. Fucking retire. We want to retire in our 40s.
Retire
Jesus, what are you
already
doing? Yeah, get out of the way.
So stupid. That makes no sense.
Well, a lot of boomers are working later.
Oh no, I understand
did, so they're,
that.
So they're sucking. They're holding down these good jobs, and millennials are going, "That's my job."
Well, that's what's bullshit, though. Who gets fired first?
Wait, they're not Gen Xers' jobs. Why do we always skip Gen X?
Because we don't work.
We don't fucking care, bro.
We don't say bro.
Seriously, wouldn't those be the Gen X jobs?
No, Xers are still, Xers are in their 50s and 40s, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So they're not really ready to retire.
Yeah, but don't they want those upper jobs that the boomers are holding on to?
Well, the Xers, they're
no,
okay.
No, because we don't fucking care, bro.
No, they understand that they have to earn them. So
we don't,
they
don't, yeah.
We don't want those jobs.
Don't
we
understand
don't
it. They just want them.
We don't care.
We know life doesn't matter.
Give it to the millennials.
Yeah, pretty much.
They just want them.
Yeah, they just want them.
They deserve them.
Just like the McDonald's people want $15 an hour. They don't tell you that they've earned it. They just say that they need it and they want it, and you should give it to them.
Hey,
just because.
I had a question about the janitor thing going on downtown.
You mean the security guards?
Oh, what
security
a bomb.
Guards and janitors?
Yeah.
So security guards for what?
Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert hires 350
are they,
security guards.
Are they all
time.
A unified group then?
Not
security
really.
Guards from all different areas?
I think that's the problem. They're not.
They're not all union. Yeah. Union. And I was a little surprised to see security guards weren't making $15 an hour, to be honest.
Union.
Yeah.
But okay, let me just put it this way. If you had to pay someone, if you had two jobs and it was like, okay, you can pay one job $15, you can pay the other job $11, and one was your McDonald's person who was working the counter or working the fryer or whatever, mm-hmm. and the other one was the security guard,
yeah.
which one would you pay $15?
The security guard, yeah.
Well, that's kind of how I felt.
Right. They were making a point to say this morning when they were picketing that they were headed towards a building, they were going to go inside, and they were like, we don't know what's going to happen because – actually, the security guards were going to come up against security guards.
Whoa. It'll be a security standoff.
And then again, it's a side.
The Dan
security
Gilbert.
Security breach.
Boy, there's one millennial on the show. Sure is into his phone today.
I'm making the cover of today's show.
During the show?
Well, yeah,
what were you doing during skin?
Hold it. What's your clearance?
Same. You'll see. It'll be a fantastic cover.
Didn't hear many drops during skin.
Access denied.
You want me to play drops over guests?
Wow.
Well, not over them, but it,
this millennial talking. About, why don't you just quit already, Drew?
Are you suddenly using restraint with the drops?
No, I wasn't playing them during Mr. Skin. No.
During Tom Cruise?
During Tom Cruise, I threw a couple laughs in there.
That was good. Were you reluctant to do that? Did you fear you were going to play a drop over someone? Because it seems like to me that there's rarely.
Are you air checking Brandon?
Seconds. It seems there's rarely 7 second gap for a drop to fit in. I mean, somebody's always talking.
Wow. Okay.
Seems like people adjust. Oh, I don't know. It just seems like your phone's been getting a lot of activity today.
Thanks to the lame ass security, I'm going home.
Just wait till you see this cover.
Okay.
What
is it? I'm looking forward to it.
Is it Skin?
No. Well, yeah. Yeah, Skin's in there. Cruised in there.
Oh, okay.
The Bedrock security guys, it sounds like they didn't participate in this thing. The Free Press made it sound like it was a big fizzle.
Yeah, it bombed.
Did it really bomb? Because there were a lot of people in the picture I saw who were protesting, but
video.
Then they said there were a lot of them that didn't even show up.
We'll check the video here after the Bernstein ad runs. Why is the Bernstein run every commercial online?
Oh, I know.
Just get them to sponsor this podcast.
I know.
The month they're spent on digital.
She's an attorney.
Thanks.
There's Goldstone.
Does he show up to work?
Who? The patriarch?
Dad, yeah.
Sam?
Yeah, does Sam still work?
Yeah, he answers the phone. That's why you call Sam, Trudy.
It's still call Sam?
Yes.
Okay. Boy, they have branded. They've spent a lot of money.
Well done.
What's the chant?
That makes, I don't know. I don't even understand.
They got bad bullhorns.
Now this is.
I want to be a chant consultant. I really do.
The drummer's doing a good job.
Now, see, these are the janitors. They're there to support the security guards, but it seems like more janitors showed up.
Fuck union.
Go, people wanna know who we are.
It ended before that because everybody knows.
Yes. We saw an opportunity.
Quiet.
I saw, the airline food people are striking too. I thought, is there a need for that anymore at
airline
all?
Airline food people.
That is a lost cause.
Most security guards stay on their job and work their regular shifts, according to their employer, Atlanta-based Secure America. Huh. Which is the primary security contractor in downtown for Dan Gilbert's Bedrock real estate firm. It employs 340 security guards for nearly 100 Detroit properties. Only 16 of them skipped to join the strike.
Well,
an additional five guards who weren't scheduled to work gave the company strike notices.
There was a couple other things I want to mention before we're done today, and one is that Jessica Biel is now checking in as an anti-vaxxer. Biel, is that really a good... I mean, think about the females who are associated with anti-vaxxing. Kristen Cavallari, Jessica Biel, Jenny McCarthy, who is no longer an anti-vaxxer.
They're pivoting
back to anti-vax.
She's pivoting to... I just read an article the other day to, I think, green vaccines.
Oh, come on. That's...
You know, I really...
Let me see if I can find
this idea of these bubbleheads taking an interest in health care and how people are treated, is that really a good idea?
No more Beale children allowed in public.
Why do we listen to them? Yeah, you're right.
Or Jenny McCarthy children. None of those children should be allowed in public.
Is Justin Timberlake an anti-vaxxer, too?
Apparently.
Must be.
He can't take that position, can he?
I don't know. I like to think he wouldn't, because I think he seems like a sharp guy. But, I mean, honest to God, really, Jessica Biel? I realize her career. I mean, is this a way to jumpstart her? Will this get her a lot of Twitter followers and a big social media following?
No, she already has that.
Does she?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
So Jenny McCarthy had Generation Rescue. That was the charity that was all about, anti-vaxxers, especially, or vaccines for autistic children. They shut down their website in May and wrote, stay tuned for what's next.
Oh, so she still is an anti-vaxxer.
I guess, but her Generation Rescue seems to be gone. They're going to be a functional medicine nonprofit.
Thanks for helping to bring measles back,
yep.
Jennifer. And Kristen Cavallari, who's read a lot of books, I guess. She's really well-read in the subject, and probably more than most doctors or, you know, people in the medical profession.
It's so insulting.
I know, it is. It is so insulting. And
people spend their whole lives studying and researching.
And not only that, you have places like the Center for Disease Control, which has the brainiest brains working on this stuff.
You know they're giving kids vaccines everywhere that eat their freaking cerebral cortex.
And Robert Kennedy Jr. knows more. He somehow knows more than they do. And Jessica Biel is joining up with Robert Kennedy Jr., apparently. So good for her.
Maybe she's hot for him.
Well, I don't know. Robert Kennedy Jr. has the most...
He's an idiot.
His face is so weird. On one half...
Oh, it is weird.
On one half, it looks like one dude. On the other half, it's another. His eyes do not match
up. Two-face.
You have a stroke?
He has one eye that's 3 inches taller than the other eye.
It's like someone shot him in the head.
He's also, if you remember the stories, he's a fuck machine. He's a strange pussy machine.
He keeps a diary of his fucking.
Yeah. No, he's out of control. He's so busy. Now, anybody that gets laid that much and is that unproductive, I have to wonder, how much time does he really have to read about vaccines?
Oh, look at that.
How much banging are you doing where you have to keep a journal of how much you've banged and who they are?
How screwed up is that? And this guy, he's not like he's a kid or something. He's in his 60s.
But he is a Kennedy.
If you point your hand over one side of his face, he's one guy. And if you put your hand over the other, he's someone different.
Yeah, that is a weird look.
It looks like John on one side and Robert on the other.
I think he's got some bad Kennedy genes.
Yes, he does.
There aren't many of them, but I think he got
a few
of them.
What's the sister? He's got her genes.
He's got Ted's.
Rose. Wasn't it Rose, the daughter?
And then the
lobotomy daughter.
I regretted that the minute it was
Rose is
old. No, you didn't. That was a good joke. We knew what you meant. It's not your fault they lobotomized their daughter.
I know. That story is so sad, though. Oh, my God.
It's the worst.
That poor girl. Finally, there was a story about this shooting in Memphis that has just led to this huge to-do. Because, and you have to follow this, federal marshals were presenting there were a number of warrants this guy had, and it was bad enough that federal marshals were actually presenting these warrants to this guy. He's getting in his car. He's trying to get away, and he apparently gets in his car, starts it, and tries to run over one of the marshals. At that point, he gets out of his car with a gun in his hand, and they just shoot him dead. And there's a lot of complaining about the number of shots. But really,
they shoot him.
I'm not sure what the complaint is, because now people are starting to say that it's about how they're treated by the Memphis police. Well, the Memphis police had nothing to do with this. However, the federal marshals are saying this guy tried to run over someone. We're trying to present him with an arrest warrant. And then he got out of the car with a gun in his hand. So that's the story as it stands. But meanwhile, the Memphis police are being attacked because they're trying to calm this neighborhood down, and they're firing rocks at them. 25 police have been injured, and they've got police cars parked in front of the police station because they are apparently throwing things at the police station, and it's just all hell breaking
15
loose.
Memphis police vehicles have been damaged, 5 vehicles from other agencies, 3 Shelby County sheriff's officials' vehicles. So they're just destroying vehicles. They threw bricks at the police.
It sounds like it's really not about this guy. It's about other stuff.
Like for
they don't like the way this neighborhood is treated.
Oh, and
this
neighborhood's hey, there's the story as you speak.
Really well, pop it up. Why not?
Gas to control the crowd. Several dozen officers were injured.
Oh,
tonight,
that's
actress
it.
Jessica
Biel. Oh,
here we go. Here we go.
We just run NBC Nightly News.
After she joined forces
God,
with a
beautiful.
Prominent anti-vaccine activist
it's a shame to
oppose
there's nothing in that
a controversial
head.
Bill. Here's Stephanie Gosk.
How fucking stupid is this?
Actress Jessica Biel wants everyone to know she is not an anti-vaxxer.
What?
After she and Robert Kennedy Jr. lobbied against a California bill that would compel more parents to vaccinate their children.
What? Sounds kind of anti-vax to me.
This headline, Jessica Biel comes out as anti-vax activist, fueling a passionate response, both support for and backlash against the 37-year-old. Today, Biel writes, I support children getting vaccinations, and I also support families having the right to make educated medical decisions for their children alongside their physicians.
Pause it for a second.
The proposed law
sorry.
You know, shut the fuck up. Yeah. Don't support people making support them following their doctor's orders.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to do research, isn't, but she's suggesting that don't
doctor.
Just listen to doctors.
Get your medical degree then.
You know, these are kind of these are the people who spend hours on WebMD and tell their doctors what they need and what they don't need. The doctors are the people who should be in charge. And honestly, these are the kind of patients doctors don't fucking want.
I don't know if you remember me telling you this, that the anti-vaxxer thing's kind of over. It's now the whole on my schedule maneuver, which is what she's saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see what else
right.
she has to say.
I support children getting vaccinations, and I also support families having the right to make educated medical decisions for their children alongside their physicians. The proposed law would require the Department of Public Health to review all medical exemptions from vaccinations, potentially overruling doctors.
There, unfortunately, are physicians who are basically selling inappropriate medical exemptions.
RFK Jr. says the government shouldn't decide, adding in a statement, I am not anti-vaccine. I'm calling for safer vaccines. Kennedy's own brother and sister strongly distanced themselves and the rest of their family from his views. Writing in a recent article, he has helped to spread dangerous misinformation over social media. Over 1,000 cases of measles have been reported this year.
Thank you.
The largest annual number since 1992, and it's only June. As the numbers go up, the fight over vaccines grows. This week, Jessica Biel put herself right in the middle of it. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, New York.
Yeah, just listen to the doctor.
You're dressed all the time in your fake boots. You feel you have to show off. Tight outfits and tight pants.
I like to pretend that Mel is watching TV with us.
Why not? Cuba Gooding arrested too. You want to hit the outro, Brandon?
Yeah.
We don't need to watch your story.
That would I have to say that would be the most boring groping ever by Cuba Gooding Jr.
You're drunk.
Yeah, it sounds like he likes to get really hammered. Hall Financial Hotline shut him down, by the way. I'm glad to report. Call 248-308-5000. Go to our website, click the link, or go to DrewandMike.HallFG.com. Cuba Gooding is her second woman that says she was groped.
Yeah, she was inspired to come forward by this the first one.
I thought there was one somewhere in Me Too. It was kind of a one-person deal at
this,
the time.
This new one happened more than a decade ago.
Oh.
So
slow down.
She got her butt grabbed in a restaurant.
Well, he tried to look up the dress of somebody at a ceremony.
Oh, Sarah from the Juice O.J. Simpson thing. Sarah, who's
yeah,
the actress?
You are correct. I can't think of her name either. But
she's not.
What? But,
honestly, he's just watching. Well, he's just listening with us. I mean, what can we do? He's gonna comment.
Yeah.
So fuck you.
Sarah Paulson.
Yeah, well, it was stupid.
Oh,
and he should have just apologized. And he tried to say, oh, it's taken out of context. And he should have just said, that was really dumb of me.
Yeah.
I don't know why he didn't do that.
Yeah. Idiot.
But in this case, his attorney says that never in his 50 years practicing law has he seen an arrest over something with no evidence.
Oh, really?
So this is apparently the biggest outrage in his 50 years of covering law, or practicing law. I know. I agree. He wasn't there. He doesn't know. And by the way, they keep referring to the videotape. Did the videotape follow him for all the entire time he was there?
What, are you a fucking expert?
Thank you, Mel.
It's very, very forceful.
All right, enjoy the best of brought to you by Scott Kunith this weekend. And like us everywhere. Rate us everywhere.
Happy Father's Day.
And hit the donate bar if you have a chance. And you can help.
Who cares?
Like have some dessert or something.
Dessert for what?
I ate some beans.
You ate some beans, so you get dessert?
Yeah.
Are you still talking through the megaphone?
Yes.
All right. Are you ready to start finally?
Okay. Let's go.
Who is taking longer getting ready, you or me?
You.
Me? I don't think so.
Yes.
All right. You ready? Do you want some intro music? Do you know what that is? Like a song to introduce the show? Do you want a song about being my daughter?
No.
You don't?
Don't talk in the microphone.
How about this for an intro song? It's called Daughter. Do you like it?
No, a different song, and I want to just not hear any song at all.
What song do you want? You don't want any music?
No.
Okay. All right.
Just start.
All right, ready? 3, 2, 1. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode number 3 of the Daddy and Charlotte podcast. I'm Daddy. I'm here with my daughter, Charlotte. How are you, Charlotte?
Good.
And are you having a good day today?
Yes.
What is the big thing going on this weekend?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, that's right.
How are you doing, Daddy?
I'm doing great. I'm doing excellent because I like spending time with you. Do you have a mother?
Yes.
What is her name?
No talk about names.
Oh, no talk about names. Did you get your mommy anything for Mother's Day?
Yes.
What did you get her?
A pineapple-shaped lamp.
Why did you get her a pineapple-shaped lamp?
Because she wanted one.
Oh, she wanted one. Why does she like pineapples?
Because she eats pineapples, and she likes pineapples a lot. And she ate pineapples when my baby sister, Annie, was in her tummy.
That's right. We call Annie what, the little pineapple?
Annie Banani.
Annie Banani, too. Did you get her anything else?
She bought herself a little...
I don't even know what that thing is.
A little clip that you clip on her diaper bag for Annie.
What else did she get?
Hang on.
Hang on what? Are we taking a break?
No.
Okay.
And then I'm going to talk on the microphone to you.
I thought you had been talking on the microphone. Oh, you mean the megaphone?
Yes.
Well, that's not annoying.
Okay. So I guess we can have a song in the middle.
Oh, you do want to have a song? Well, what
but
kind of...
it has to be Princess and the Frog!
Why?
Because that's my favorite song! No, that's quiet!
Ma'am, put your headphones on and tell me if you like the way that sounds. Put your headphones on. What's the other word for...
Okay!
How many more days of school do you have left?
8 more.
8 more. Then what's next year? What grade are you going to be in next year?
Kindergarten.
Holy cow. Are you excited for kindergarten?
Yes.
Yeah? It's going to be lots of fun. You're going to learn lots of stuff, right?
Yes.
Oh, is that your mute button? See, watch. You got to say something and hit it while you're talking. So say a long sentence.
My princess is, well,
see,
princess...
See how it drops out? Pretty
cool. Yeah.
It's called the cough button. So if you have to cough, people don't want to hear you cough. So you press that button so they don't hear you cough. What did you do today?
Well, we went to the farmer's market in the morning.
And what did you say about the farmer's market with the parking? You said you don't ever want to go to Royal Oak again, didn't you?
Yeah.
Why don't you ever want to go to Royal Oak again?
Too busy there and too shredded.
Don't yell into it. Talk into it. Did you just cough into it on purpose? You little stinker. You're supposed to press the button, then cough. You goob.
Hello.
Quick, quick, let it go. Let it go and hit it.
It is done now. What should we do, Daddy? It is done. Bye.
We're done with the podcast?
Bye.
Who cares?